TalkRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best News Show, The Rack.
We're not acting like we're in second grade. We are working through our anger issues. You see, Kane and I, we used to be a lot like you. But thanks to Dr. Shelby, we're in a better place now. And not only that, we are champions. You do want to be a champion again.
Yes.
Don't you, Randy?
Yes, I do. And after I win the Royal Rumble match, I...
Wait. First, we win our tag match, and then... Group hug!
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE and TNA.
Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian.
The
tag team champions.
No, world tag team champions of the world.
That's redundant. Totally
it's not redundant. We're two planets worth of great. We've established this time and time again. World Tag Team Champions of the World. Hashtag it, everybody. You'll see.
The first time you hear it, you think you made a mistake.
Intelligent people know better. That's all I have to say on that.
And it's whichever like two worlds you want to choose, it's up to you.
Like, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Even Pluto counts, even though it's not a planet anymore, despite the fact they found another moon.
But it is still a dog.
It is.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh, my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh, my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la, 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 what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com and, of course, MemLanePromo.com. Head over there for all your memorabilia needs, including for, well, the men we're about to talk about. They may have some autographs of them, although the price may have gone up a little bit. Joining me this evening is, of course, as always, my producer, Sir Rockin.
Hi, everybody. We have an awesome show lined up for you, including we're talking to Frankie Kazarian.
Woohoo!
Well, who's going to get to that?
Yeah, well, I decided to, you know, jump the gun and say, we're talking to Frankie Kazarian tonight on the show, bitches. How about that?
Jerk. And, of course, we are also joined by our wonderful friend, the awesome Aussie from Down Under, because I have no idea what else to call him, Mace.
Yeah, I need some sort of better nomenclature to go in front of my name, because, you know, we have the be-all and all omega. Yeah. Everybody else has, like, something to put in front of their name, except me. Then again, that makes me special.
I guess, but we could call you what we called you Sunday, but you didn't care for that.
Yeah.
No.
You know, it's a name out there that no one's using right now, so.
Yes. It is. It's true. You know, he's kind of sort of fallen off the face of the planet, so...
We can use what King Ken said.
Oh, no, 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 no. We're not going to go there tonight. At least not on the air. So we really don't have any news to start with, but we do have our question of the night.
Yes, we do have a question on our question of the night. Tonight is simple as this. What is your favorite TNA cage match?
Yes, and I'm just completely botching the show because Lindsay forgot to pull up the run sheet. Yeah! But we'll get to all that in the end of the show. But to start the show, we are probably going to start with the biggest news and also the saddest news of the week. Yes, like everybody else, we are, of course, going to talk about the very tragic passing of our dear Uncle Paul, a.k.a. Paul Bearer, Percy Pringle III, William Moody, who left us Tuesday night. We were all deeply saddened by this. I was actually very upset, to just as a fan of his, it's like, oh no.
Yeah, it's sad that he left us as early as he did. Reportedly, he suffered some sort of blood clot over the weekend due to some respiratory problems he was having. He canceled some appearances to get it checked out, and unfortunately, he did not get it checked out in time.
Yeah, so we, of course, everybody here at the Wild Talk Radio Network, everybody here on the rack, we send our deepest condolences to the Moody family and to really anybody and everybody whose lives were touched by him. And it's absolutely incredible to see the outpouring of just support and well wishes that have come out of this. And this story has extended beyond just our little community. I mean, I was looking at the sites. It was either Tuesday night or Wednesday, and it's like the story has been on TMZ. It has been on Fox News. It has been on Yahoo. When I woke up Wednesday morning, it was the number one trending story on Yahoo. So
it made the NBC Sports.
Yeah, it's been on ESPN, I believe. I mean, it's just the number of lives he touched is just astounding, and it's so wonderful to see that this story is getting as much coverage as it is to let everybody know that he has passed on. And it's very sad that he's gone, but it's good to know that the word is getting out there and that people can send their prayers and their wishes to the family.
This is true. And he's been suffering, especially after he lost his wife a couple years ago, I believe.
2009, yes.
About 4 years now, because she was suffered from cancer. It was a sad moment when we all heard it, because believe it or not, we were all on a call together when we heard it.
Yeah, we were getting ready to riff actually when we all heard. So we're all sitting here, and it's just like then the news came across the wire, and it's like, huh.
Made for an interesting Tuesday night. And the biggest question, I'll throw this back out to Mason and to you, Lindsay, is this the time to put him into the Hall of Fame?
If it's one thing that sort of annoys me, is that the instant call for a Hall of Fame recognition the second somebody passes on. Mind you, in this case, it is very much... very much warranted, as he really sort of hard to quantify, you know. Paul Bearer definitely earns his spot as if you actually go to the WWE Fan Nation account on YouTube, they've got the WWE's tribute to Paul on there, and Vince says it, and a few other people say it as well. He's very detrimental in how the genesis of The Undertaker came about, what really started to push that gimmick. And he was one of the very few managers left in the business that could still, no matter what point in time he showed up, captivate you from the second he walked through the curtain.
Absolutely.
So he has done more than enough to earn that spot.
Right.
The fact that everybody's starting to call for it the second he dies, I don't like putting people in under that circumstance. I really don't.
But here's the thing: it's not the typical wrestling tragedy. You know what I mean?
I know this is not an Eddie Guerrero. Okay,
right.
I understand that, but at the same time, it's still very Eddie Guerrero like. There's going to be a section of the audience that's going to sit back and go, well, he's only in there because he passed on.
I can see
which is not true, you know. As I've said, the guy has earned,
he's earned his spot.
He's
earned his spot. It was just... His spot was more of a matter of time, you know what I mean? And I think they were saving his induction.
Yeah. I think they were saving his induction for when The Undertaker goes in.
Exactly. That's what
you put them
right
in together.
What do you think?
Yeah, I said the same thing, essentially. I figured that they were potentially saving Paul's induction for when Taker goes in, and I wouldn't like to see him go in pretty much, you know, 4 or 5 weeks after he's passed on, But we all know that the machine that is WWE are looking to generate money, and they are going to strike while the iron is hot. And with the amount of media coverage that this has received, I would not be surprised if Monday night or in the next few weeks we see Paul Bearer announced to go into the Hall of Fame. Just because it will have more impact now than it will a year from now or 2 years from now.
Right. WWE Universe on Twitter, I believe, has a thing out there now. Retweet this if you think Paul Bearer should go into the Hall of Fame. So is that the first sign that he's actually going in?
Potentially. I mean, I'm sure that they're waiting to reach out to the family. Just because the funeral hasn't even occurred yet. By the way, if you are looking for the details, they are up on pwmania.com if you want to send flowers or a card or something. Please don't be jerks about it. he hasn't even been buried yet. So I'm sure if they are going to put him in, they have to get the blessing of the family, and they're probably waiting to even ask for that until after everything.
Right. I believe, I'm not 100% certain, but he was supposed to receive some sort of award next month at Cauliflower Alley into their sort of Hall of Fame. I'm not sure if he's being put in their Hall of Fame, but he's being given some sort of award from them as an honor of his career. It's like Mace was saying, it's a touchy situation.
It's touchy and it's awkward because it's so soon. It's like I could understand if WrestleMania was 3 or 4 months away, then it's like, okay, yeah, I can kind of see it. It's not as wrong. It's still within kind of that 1 year buffer, but it's like, okay, you know, there's been some time. It's healed, you know, emotions aren't running as high as they are right now.
Right, but go ahead.
Excuse me. And so, but it's like 5 weeks out, it's like absolutely he deserves to go in, but it's like, I'm kind of with Mace because I told you this last night. I don't necessarily like the fact that just because it feels like he died, he's going in right this second. Like, he absolutely deserves to go in, and I believe that they were saving him to go in with Taker, and now that's not going to potentially happen unless the family says something, or Taker says something, or somebody says something.
But I'll throw this question out at you. Would this be the best way to honor his legacy by putting him into the Hall of Fame right now? Is this the best thing they could do to really show how much of an impact he's had in the business?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. And for him to go in with the class that's going in this year would be amazing. You know, to go in with the likes of Mick Foley, which is kind of fitting, and Bruno Sammartino, and just everything. I mean, it would be an absolute great way to honor his memory, especially if you can convince Taker to put him in. Taker or Kane, one of the two.
Now, speaking of them, I'll throw this question back to both of you. What do you do to honor him on Raw in terms of acknowledgement from the characters?
Mace, you want to go first?
Trying to work out the question.
How do the characters react to his passing?
So you're saying do something on Raw with the characters.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we're beyond that day. We're not going to get something along the lines of like the Owen Hart tribute night or anything like that, where people come out in character and that, and they still go on. This is going to be treated in the following manner. It is going to get that tribute video played at the start of Raw.
I'm not talking about the entire roster. I'm not talking about the entire roster. Taker and Kane.
it will be ignored.
But should it?
No, but the first rule, show must go on. They're not really going to have, you know, Taker and Kane standing there reminiscing about Paul Bearer or anything like that. They might have something with Kane, might bring it up if they bring back Dr. Shelby for another therapy session. But that'd be it. This is going to be put under the rug character-wise.
What do you think, Lindsay?
I'm kind of in agreement with Mace as far as it will probably be swept under the rug, but at the same time, because of the impact that I know he had on both of them. You know, he's spoken always very fondly of both of them, and Glenn Jacobs has spoken fond of him. Taker has as well. In the few interviews he's given, I wouldn't expect them to do a full-blown Paul Bearer tribute. I can see Taker doing something as simple as he carries an urn to the ring with him, and he sets it on the stairs, and that's it. And that's really the only reference we get. I mean, we're not going to see them, you know, standing there and crying. We're not going to see anything like that. I can just see them doing something very simple if they do anything. And it's just really more of a reference to him than anything else. And the fans that know what it is or will recognize it for what it is can appreciate it. But it's not going to be the whole, you know, chest beating, you know, in Kane's case, oh, my God, my father has died. Kind of thing, because if you think about it, Paul Bearer was really instrumental in both The Undertaker and Kane. Really, I would almost argue Kane more so than Taker, because he was really, both of them were the driving force behind Kane even showing up.
Right.
They created that character, they created that whole storyline, and so they were the, you know, Paul Bearer was really, I think, it, and The Undertaker too, I'm not discounting what he did, but Paul Bearer really did a lot to help to get Kane over, as well as The Undertaker. So he was extremely instrumental in both men's careers. So I'm sure they would want to do something. It's just right now, I don't know if it will happen on Raw. I don't know if it will happen on Mania. I mean, we don't know. And it's like I told you, the wheels in my head, the sick little wheels in my head, the way they work is it's Paul Bearer was Kane's father, and now his father is gone. And there's sometimes, you know, especially with the relationship that those two had on TV, it's, you know, Kane that fuels Kane's anger. And that raises, you know, unresolved issues and old issues that were never taken care of. Kind of thing. And so that could lead to a character change for him. And maybe that's what they do, is they could use it as a reference to kind of break Kane out of the character he's in right now and move him more towards that monster again that we all know he will eventually devolve into. And it's the anger about the fact that his father is gone, kind of thing. But I actually want to pitch something at you.
Okay.
You.
But before you pitch, I will say this. If we do get anything character-wise, it's going to be between Kane and Brian. Guaranteed those two will be the ones that get the more straight out.
Yeah.
You know, mention of it in character and have something spawn off like Lindsay has been saying. Mind you, I do like The Undertaker coming out with the urn and putting it on the steps. Especially if he does that at Mania, would be really nice.
Yeah, so it, like I said, something really simple. Now, my question to you is this, is obviously The Undertaker is embroiled in a feud with CM Punk that's starting. Do we see Punk say anything Monday night or in the coming weeks as far as a way to kind of take that jab at The Undertaker and sort of heat that feud up a lot? I mean, do we see that at all?
We possibly could. After this past summer, there's that line, they've crossed it already, and, you know, they know how to cross it again. But in this case, I could see them doing it. Should they? No. Will they? Probably, but I don't think they would take it as far as they did in the summer.
Mace?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. It's the way the writers and the way CM Punk work, yeah, I could see them doing it. But at the same time, this is one of those things where they have to be careful how they word it and how they tread it. Because chances are the wrong wording from CM Punk gets him lynch mobbed in the parking lot.
Right.
What I can see in my head, as you brought up the scenario, is CM Punk about to say something and Undertaker goes off on him.
Undertaker stops him.
Just beats the crap out of him. You know, he's about to cross that line and they don't actually cross it.
Yeah, I mean, I can see Punk bringing it up, and honestly, just from what I've heard about Bill Moody and everything, I don't know why I say this, and I didn't know the man personally. I can see him almost, I guess, wanting it to be a part of the storyline and actually kind of being okay with it, if that makes sense. Where it...
Yeah, I see what you mean.
In a way. Not you know, full on...
Not the focus, but brought up. In a way.
To use it in that manner to drive the storyline further.
Hell, I could see them doing something just to get under Undertaker's skin, Punk taking the urn and saying, I've got your father.
Yeah, I could see that too.
Yeah, I could see that.
But then again, I could see him grabbing it, going, I've got your father, turn around, here's Kane, choke slam, picks up the urn and hands it back to the Undertaker.
You know, you can also see, alright, think about this. Remember back, this is way back in the day, we're going way back to like WrestleMania 11 build-up. Remember what they did to the urn back then?
Wait, we're going in the Wayback Machine? I like this trip.
We're going back in the Wayback Machine. You remember what they did to the urn way back when with, the WrestleMania 11 build-up with Kama.
Yes.
And they burn, they melt the urn down and have CM Punk come out with the chain that, you know, Kama wore. I don't know why I keep saying Kamala, but Kama wore. I could see him doing something like that.
But didn't they just get a new urn later?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they just replaced the urn later.
A more powerful
retcons!
One.
Retcons! Gotta love it!
They made a bigger urn with a light this time. So, you know, it's little things like that. I can see it happening. I could see them messing with the urn, messing with it, with the death. Because it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. I could see it happening, but at the same time, it's like, can you just wait?
I don't think it would be Monday. I would think it could be the final straw button, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that I'm seeing. Like, I'm not saying it's Monday night. It's if they use it at all. I mean, there could be something where it's they maybe pitch it to Taker and he says no, absolutely not. I mean, it's all dependent because obviously we don't know how he feels about it. No statement has come out from him. I'm sure he's upset and that kind of thing, but. He could be okay with it. He could say no. He could be indifferent.
Right, but the family wished him well on Twitter.
Yes, the family did wish him well on Twitter. Yes. The quote-unquote family, which Rock retweeted. And by family, we mean the wifey. Who I have no... hate towards whatsoever.
I figured that I bring that up to lighten up the mood.
I hate you.
I know you do. But just speaking of lighting up the mood, before we get a break, because coming up in about, I don't know, whenever the segment's done, Frankie Kazarian on this show talking about Impact. How about that?
Yay!
Lockout. Favorite fond memories of Paul Bearer? You know, what are some of your fond memories of him?
Gotta go with the funeral parlor. That little segment that was always just Paul Bearer talking for a good 5 minutes just to hype up a match.
Right.
It was creepy, and he was creepy, and yeah, it was just one of those things that are like, it's almost like Piper's Pit in a way. It's one of those things that you can never duplicate, even in today's day and age.
As hard as they may try.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lindsay?
I have a couple. I'm going to have to go with the Boiler Room Brawl. Mm-hmm. Which is, I'm sure, everybody is saying, just because it was that original, oh, screw you, Paul Bearer moment. Where you first kind of got to see what a snake in the grass he really was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm actually going to go with the first time I ever saw him on TV. Which was probably, I think, February or March of 2000. When he came back and he managed Kane after the Ministry of Darkness.
With the black and red tux.
Yeah, with the black and the red suit and the little button on top, yeah. And that was like the first time I had ever really been exposed to him, and I got to see how just absolutely fantastic he was, you know, as a manager and as a performer, because he was so over the top and he was so ridiculous and it was amazing. And like, I remember as a fan, because this was before I kind of figured everything out, being so pissed off when he and Kane got thrown in the bottom of a bus and they had to walk back.
I remember that.
Like, just being so upset. And, you know, later obviously I figured things out and realized, oh yeah, it's not real. But,
I remember him being shoved down a sewer hall. That was tremendous.
Yeah, it's just, and just the things that he did, it's like, in that moment when Taker and Kane were feuding the last time, and they rolled out that casket, which is eerily creepy now if you watch it. And the casket opens, and there's Paul Bearer laying in the casket with the urn, and he sits up.
Mm.
And he looks at Kane.
See?
Yeah. You know. Go ahead.
I'm actually watching one of my favorites right now. I've looked it up. WrestleMania 20.
Yes, I was going to mention that too.
When Kane comes out, those intros, he's like, nah, he's not coming back, he's not coming back. The lights go out and it goes dead silent, and all of a sudden you just hear, oh, yes! And Paul Bearer comes out and everybody shits a brick.
Yep.
Because you want to talk about keeping this kayfabe, he came out before, the few days before WrestleMania saying, I have not been contacted, and everybody believed him.
Because, you know, the story got overtaken that year by somebody. Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
So it was a nice cover for him. My favorite moment, The Voice. Simple as that.
Yeah.
The high-pitched voice that requires you to grab your nuts to imitate.
And everyone and their mother has imitated that voice.
Raising my hand. Totally raising my hand.
That's my last memory. It's The Voice, and you'll never forget that voice.
Oh, God, no.
No. I think what's kind of sad is his character. He was so good at it, and he was so amazing with the makeup and everything, and it makes me really kind of sad that he's gone, just because nobody will have a character like that. Again, that it's that believable, it's that over the top, it's that well done.
Yeah.
It's like he was just the perfect complement to The Undertaker, and he was so good at it. It's like, I remember in the feud, the last feud that he was in with Taker and Kane, he didn't say a damn word. He just stood there and looked evil.
He had that smugness about him.
He had that smugness about him. He just... he had an air to him that just... nobody can duplicate nowadays. And it's like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Okay, I know this is probably going to be a sort of a bad memory of him to speak at this time, but the concrete block, the concrete burial.
Oh, God.
I don't know how, to this day, nobody works out how he got out of that. Like, as a human being. Like, magic. People are still yeah, this is something you'd have to turn around to David Copperfield and go, show me how. But he sold that like a goddamn champ. The begging and pleading every single moment. It was one of the freakiest things I've ever seen on WWE television.
Yeah, because you're sitting there and you're like, oh my God, are they really going to do it? Holy crap, they're really going to do it. And then the twist at the end where the Undertaker buries him alive was just amazing.
Yeah, it was. And guess what? That's our fondest memory of the Great American Bash.
That's the only thing anybody remembers from that pay-per-view is from the Undertaker burying Paul Bearer alive.
From any of those pay-per-views.
How sad is that one?
With everything that happened at those pay-per-views is when the Undertaker turns on Paul Bearer, buries him alive because he has to do the right thing and he has no choice.
Yep.
And on a side note, Paul Heyman was just brilliant in that.
Well, it's Paul Heyman.
Well, of course. But I mean, just think about that feud for a second. You've got The Undertaker and Paul Bearer and Paul Heyman, and I believe it was the Dudleys?
Yes.
In that feud.
Don't get no better than that right there.
Yo.
Bravo.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But on...
on that note.
Yeah, on that note, we're going to take our first break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to be joined by Mr. Frankie Kazarian himself, fresh off Impact. So stay tuned and listen. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Now, The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels, letting you know that you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Everybody, well, welcome back to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and as promised, we are joined right now by one half of Bad Influence, the physical fascination himself, Frankie Kazarian. Hello, how are you doing today?
I'm great, and thank you for the proper introduction. I appreciate that.
Well, we also talked to Christopher Daniels, and, you know, we were lectured on properly introducing you guys, so, you know, every time we talk to you, we do try to make sure we get it right.
Okay, it's good. So you got the heads up, so, all right, all is
yeah.
well.
Yes, he gave us the heads
good,
up,
good.
So.
Good.
So, I mean, obviously we have to talk to you about the biggest news, which is you guys are going to be making an appearance at Lockdown this Sunday in San Antonio. You're facing Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez, along with Bobby Roode and Austin Aries. Are you guys excited, or are you pumped, or?
Of course, because we get the opportunity to become the World Tag Team Champions of the world for the third time, which we're going to do, and we're going to do it on one of the biggest stages that Impact showcases every year, and that's Lockdown, this time in San Antonio. So, of course, we're psyched because we're going to be there, and spoiler alert, it's going to be great.
Well, we're expecting it to be great. We're rooting for you guys.
Well, you know what? You guys obviously have collective brains in your heads then, and you're not, you know, rooting for the makeshift team of Bobby Roode and Austin Aries or the bland Chavo and Hernandez. You're actually rooting for the best team in the business, three syllables. And that's us, Bad Influence, Daniels and Kaz.
Absolutely. Now, obviously you have been with the company a long time, and
yes.
You are, I would at least classify you a TNA original. I don't
yep.
know if you would, but do you have a favorite Lockdown memory since you've been there since day one?
Lockdown, to be honest, is not one of my favorite pay-per-views simply because it's a very brutal pay-per-view in the past. You know, anytime you're in a steel cage environment, it presents a lot of dangers. And I've done a lot of different types of matches. I've done X Division and Escape style matches, and I've done numerous Lethal Lockdown matches. I don't know if I have a favorite, but you know, the year that Fortune defeated Immortal, which I believe was 2011 at Lockdown, was a very successful year for Fortune as a group and individually, and it was a great way to close out the show that night and bring it into that feud. So I guess I'd have to go with that one. And that, coincidentally enough, was right when Christopher Daniels returned to the company. And so it was great to have him back.
And bringing up Christopher, I mean, you guys seem like you're having just a blast doing Bad Influence. And you guys, I mean, every week you look like you're having such fun. Is this the most fun you've ever had? Or?
Oh, absolutely. It's capital letters FUN, and what you see is what you get. You know, it's the good thing is it's just us being us. It's not, you know, us trying to pretend or play somebody else. It's us being us. You know, everything we say, everything we do comes from our heads. And, we've been given a lot more creative freedom than in the past, which is awesome. We're both very grateful for. And, we're absolutely having fun, and it's great to, you know, to be doing this with Chris, because I've known him the better part of 15 years, and we've been very, very good friends. He's one of my best friends outside of the business, so we obviously have a chemistry in the ring as well. And individually we've both had a lot of success in TNA, and now collectively, so it's awesome. It's a lot of fun. It's everything's we always try to outdo whatever we've done in the past. We always try to one-up each other. And I'll be honest, he's hard to keep up with. You know, he's so quick-witted and, you know, and on the mic and in the ring can do such incredible things that, you know, I'm always trying to stay on an even keel with him and even, you know, go a little above. But it's awesome. I'm definitely having one of the funnest times of my career is definitely right now.
You guys are a big part with Throwback Thursday, with the Zubaz pants, the kilts.
Oh, yeah.
Anything in the works you can let us in on, what you guys have planned for Throwback Thursdays?
Well, I can let you know that there is something planned for Throwback Thursdays. You know, I can't, you know, give away our trade secrets.
Damn.
That would just be wrong. Yeah, I can't, you know. But you know, like I said, in going back to what I referenced earlier, just about always trying to top what we've done in the past, you know, and people are really starting to, you know, say the Throwback Thursday is synonymous with Bad Influence. So there's definitely something there. And, all I can say is, you know, we're taking Impact on the road. In Chicago we start. So, just keep your eyes open because you might see a Throwback Thursday, as early as 1 week from today, next week. So just keep your eyes peeled and, you know, your jaws will drop. Trust me.
Sounds good. Really looking forward to it.
And maybe some undergarments. Maybe some undergarments. Just saying.
Well, I don't know. The kilts, at least for me, are going to be pretty hard to top. I absolutely loved you guys in the kilts.
The kilts were a big hit. The kilts were, you know, we got a lot of compliments. The Scottish folk in general were very complimentary, and we got a lot of the English birds in attendance were very, they thought we rocked the kilts. And, you know, I'd be hard pressed to disagree, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was our Braveheart moment.
So you mentioned TNA going on the road, and us, at least as fans of the product, we are super excited that you guys are doing that. And I have to get your thoughts on that and what you think of it. I mean, are you nervous? Are you excited? I mean, what was your thought when they initially told you guys, hey, we're going to take the show on the road?
Psyched. You know, that's being a guy that's been here since day one. That's, you know, that was one of the goals, one of the huge, way far down the road goals that we had, you know, set out when we were just a little tiny company struggling every week in the fairgrounds of Nashville at the Asylum. You know, that was one of the, wow, wouldn't it be great if we had a television show, and then wouldn't it be great if we had a weekly television show in prime time, and then it was, you know, wouldn't it be great if we were on the road, and, you know, that's where we are right now. It's, you know, this dream has become a reality, not just for the company, but for us as individuals and us as performers. So I'm psyched. No, nervous, not at all. Just psyched. Just really, really excited to bring our brand of pro wrestling to the people, and just to give them, you know, an alternative. And just, you know, these people in Orlando have been, I don't know if they realize how lucky they've been to see the matches and the entertainment they've seen over the last 9 years, because we've given them some incredible stuff here in Orlando. And, you know, it's only fair that the rest of the country and the rest of the world, for that matter, get to see what the guys and gals of Impact can do. So I'm psyched. It's super cool to be on the road and to be in different cities and to hear the hateful shouts from people in different cities as opposed to just Orlando. These Orlando folk are getting, you know, a little bit stale. I want some new hate. I want to meet some new haters, you know. So yeah, so I'm psyched. We're psyched.
Is there anywhere that you want to go? I mean, and obviously, I guess you guys don't get much to say, but is there anywhere you're particularly looking forward to seeing and performing in?
Well, I know that there's right now a writing campaign of people saying where they want to see Impact Live, and I know a lot of people are requesting that Bad Influence be there at the top of the list. Chicago is a great place to start. It's a hotbed for pro wrestling. You know, I being a Southern California guy, I am looking forward to being anywhere in Southern California, Los Angeles, Anaheim, Ontario, San Diego, anywhere. You know, just I'm really looking forward to doing some stuff on the West Coast because that's where I'm based, and, you know, some stuff in Vegas and some stuff in Arizona. And then, you know, hitting up the Midwest, the Minnesota, the Carolinas, you know, and then getting up into the Northeast and New York and Boston and just all the places that, you know, we've done maybe pay-per-views in the past but never television. I'm just really looking forward and excited to bring our television just all around the country in. And I really loved when we did television in Europe, and I look forward to doing a lot more of that. But you know what? It's like you know, in my heart and in my mind, I'm a rock star, and it's time to go on tour. You know, it's time to stop being the house. It's time to stop being the house band in Orlando, and time to take our show on the road. So I'm psyched.
Well, as you guys leave Orlando, do you have a particular memory that you're most fond of the Impact Zone, or is it just, that's old news, I'm done?
I can, you know, and all joking aside, I can joke and say I can't wait to get out of here, and, you know, part of that is true. But, you know, this place has been our home for many years, and I have a lot of memories, good, bad, and indifferent here. You know, I suffered a couple bad injuries here, which those are some of the bad memories. You know what, though? I mean, just being here for the first time, walking into the building, and wrestling the first ever, one of the first ever matches in this building, you know, and winning, you know, numerous X Division titles, and, you know, wrestling main events and television main events, and, you know, and just going live for the first time, and it just, there's so many memories, you know, there's, it'd be hard to condense it into just one, you know, so it's a little bit bittersweet, you know, it's like I said, I feel that, you know, the fans here, to a certain extent, have been spoiled. But at the same time, I know they do appreciate what we do. But, you know, hopefully they see this as part of TNA's growing process, and this is what we have to do. The little bird has to leave the nest.
Right.
So you know what? You know, the Impact Zone, it's been great. It was our home for 9 years, and it was a really cool wrestling venue. And I think when it's all said and done, the Impact Zone will be one of those, like ECW arena type venues, the intimate venues that was known as a really cool place to see pro wrestling.
Absolutely. I mean, I've never personally gotten to go to the Impact Zone, but I did see you guys when you were in Nashville, and it was phenomenal when you guys were in the fairgrounds. I can't imagine what it was like in Orlando, and I'm actually excited to see you guys go on the road, as I said. And if I may humbly request that you guys come to Salt Lake City, Utah, I would greatly appreciate it.
That's done. I mean, you know what? Like I said, that's one of those markets that I don't know that we hit often or ever, even on our live events. So what I'm psyched about is bringing what TNA can do to the people that only get to see us via television, you know, because it's a whole different monster when you see it live.
Right. And it's, you guys, as good as you guys are on TV, it's five times better live. And I implore anybody who has a chance to go to absolutely go.
Yeah, and we are even more handsome in person, if that's possible. Just saying.
Yes, I've been to a couple of your Fan Access events. I can attest to that. You guys are.
So she can attest to that.
Yes. Although I haven't seen you with the new hair.
Ah, with the new hair. Well, it's actually my old hair. It's just there's less of it.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not new hair. It's still mine.
The new look.
Yeah, the new look. Okay.
There we go.
The new and improved look.
Well, speaking of the new improved looks, I know you're a big comic book fan.
Yep.
And I have to ask your impressions. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but or if you're even a fan of it. Have you seen the new Iron Man trailers?
I just saw the one where they showed Ben Kingsley as Mandarin just briefly before I flew out. And it looked awesome. Looked tremendous. I haven't seen the full-length ones, but what I saw looked really good. Looked really, really good. Better than I think Iron Man 2.
Well, I certainly hope so. And I don't know if you're as much of a Spider-Man fan as Christopher Daniels is, but what are your impressions, I guess, of what they're doing in the series now with, I don't know if you've seen it, spoiler alert if you haven't, of Doc Ock taking over Spider-Man's body?
It's interesting. I think it's I'm a fan, not to the level of Chris Daniels, but with that story, I think it's definitely interesting and it's different. You know, and it's in comics or anything entertainment, it's hard to be different. So, you know, I'm all for it. I'm all for that outside the box type of writing and thinking. So, you know, we'll see what the end result, you know, that remains to be seen. But, you know, it's cool.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's something that I'm interested in taking a look at least.
Certainly, yeah.
If I can, though, I'd like to actually get also your feelings on some of the one night only events.
Yep.
In particular, the greatest tag team event that they're going to be having. Now, are you two thinking of entering, or is this
let's be honest. The pay-per-view is named after us. It's the greatest tag team in wrestling pay-per-view. It's named after us. Of course we're going to be there. So of course we're going to compete, and of course we're going to beat 2, 3, maybe more teams. and prove that we are the best tag team in the biz NS. Three syllables yet again. Of course we're going to be there.
So you're not concerned with, you know, maybe a couple teams reuniting the some
absolutely
I guess,
not.
Ghosts
absolutely not.
Fast.
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Okay.
No.
Well.
And I'll have you know, as we were speaking, I just lifted my leg to put it on a chair, and my pants ripped. So I blame you because I have to blame somebody.
Okay.
And now I have a hole in my pants, and I'm gonna have to. Yeah.
Well, I apologize for that. You know, I guess it's
that's okay. I have to blame somebody.
Power.
That's what we do here.
It's the female power. It's willing it to happen.
I guess so. Yeah. So.
So, I guess to sort of start to wrap things up a little bit, you mentioned the imposter team of Rude and Aries.
Yep.
And it kind of feels like they're ripping you guys off a little bit.
Yeah, I've heard a few folks say that, and I would say they're more makeshift than they are imposters. I mean, they're both, you know, incredibly talented singles competitor, and they're both friends of ours, but, there can only be one bad influence, you know, and there can only be one best tag team in the business. And that's, and you know, we kind of, you know, we got that covered, you know, they can, we have no problem with them doing their thing and pursuing other titles, but you know what? We got all bases covered when it comes to tag teams and, you know, we're going to get our tag team titles back. So, you know, they've had a fun little run, you know, I'll give them that, but you know, it's, it was good while it lasted. You know, I would recommend that they go after the TNA World Heavyweight title again, whoever may have it after lockdown, and, you know, and pursue other goals, because the tag team title is going to be around our gorgeous waist for the next conceivable future.
All right, well.
And when we get them back, we're going to present our new tag team suspenders.
Hey.
Because who needs just a belt to hold up your pants?
Exactly.
Tag team suspenders. Think about it.
I kind of actually like that idea. That's kind of sexy.
Yep, World Tag Team Championship suspenders. Courtesy
also,
of Bad Influence, yep.
Are you going to market them on a TNA Shop?
Please. Well, our history with marketing anything on TNA Shop hasn't been good, but I will do my best.
I'm still waiting for the Appletini recipe, honestly.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
But you mentioned the TNA heavyweight picture, and I know Christopher Daniels threw his hat in the ring. Are you looking to do that as well, maybe in the future, or are you looking to pursue another singles title?
Absolutely, and that's a lie. Christopher Daniels doesn't wear hats, so he did not throw his hat into them. But yes, absolutely. I say it all the time when I'm asked, if you're not in this business to become a world champion, then you should not be in this business. You know, that being said, any business, that any goal you have, you should not stop until you reach that goal. Why would I be 15 years in the business and not want to be a world champion? I absolutely will be a world champion, and I'm going to pursue that title when the time and when the opportunity presents itself.
I think you deserve it. I think you both deserve it, honestly. It's
Thank
a long
you. And
time coming.
Absolutely, and it's definitely both, you know, we're both very goal-oriented folk, and that is definitely one of our goals.
Well, I just want to say it's been a pleasure talking to you. Do you have any final message for your fans?
Other than make sure you tune in tonight to Impact Wrestling because, as I said earlier, spoiler alert, we're going to be great. And this Sunday, watch us win the World Tag Team Championships of the World, not redundant, or Two Planets Worth of Greatness. When we beat Churro and Sean and Austin and Bobby and win the belts for the third time. And then tune in next week because you'll see us wearing our championship suspenders.
Well,
and eat your vegetables.
Yes, eat your vegetables. Well, thank you so much, Frankie, personally.
My pleasure.
It's absolutely wonderful talking to you.
My pleasure. Thank you. My pleasure. Had a great time.
All right, folks, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and
ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on. Let me.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer of
the show. Shut up.
Producer of the show.
Shut up. For the trunk, Rob Parks.
Why does Rob Parks do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait, what?
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Wow. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. All right, everyone who was listening to that, forget about it now. Forget. Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What I do?
I'm Rob Hunt, your godfather tree, for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was.
Peace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, what's up? This is Kaz. I'm great. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by MLanePromo.com. Go there for all your memorabilia needs, including all your favorite Impact Wrestling stars. And, of course, the sponsor of at least this segment, because that's where we're getting our results from, is PWMania.com. We thank them very much for it.
You mentioned,
yes, you can actually watch the show.
You mentioned PWMania.com. Go there for all your news. But MemLanePromo.com, later in the show, in our next segment, you can win a Kurt Angle Autograph 8x10 courtesy of MemLanePromo.com when you enter our TNA Lockdown Pick'em Challenge, which is still to come tonight.
Yes, we're going to get into that into the next segment, but we wanted to give everybody a little break in between the fantastic Kaz interview. We would like to thank him and, of course, Impact Wrestling for that. It's wonderful to speak with him this afternoon.
Yes, it was. It was an honor to speak to him, and we thank the folks, I guess, now in Nashville and around the world, because I can't really say Florida any longer.
No, tonight was the, at least for the time being, last showing of the Impact Zone after this Sunday. They're headed to Chicago and out on the road, so this is the last time we see the Orlando crowd for a while.
This is the, beyond the one night only tapings, this is the final ever Impact to ever take place in Orlando. At the Impact
Yay!
Zone. Because the Impact Zone, once they're done taping, is no more.
Wow.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Yeah, Dixie Carter has come out and said, this is it. It's over and done with. There's no going back. They're on the road, starting on the 17th.
Well, I hope it works out for them. I know, like I said in the interview, I am extremely excited for them to go out on the road. Please, TNA, if you are listening to this, for the love of God, come to Salt Lake.
Within the next 6 months.
Within the next 6 months. Next year, wherever you want. But if you can make it in the next 6 months to Salt Lake, I would greatly appreciate it. Because I'm pretty sure WWE doesn't have any contracts here because they never come.
Well, they are coming on the 24th of May.
Yeah, they finally decided to come back then, but I'm pretty sure they don't have an exclusive contract with the Maverick Center, but we'll see.
We'll see, but we'll get into more about the Alamo Dome when we talk about lockdown.
Yes. But for the final taping, tonight was an incredibly good show. It had a nice, hot opening where we have the backstage in the Impact Zone, the roving camera crew chasing Kurt Angle as he's making his way to the ring. They want to know, who was it? Who was the man behind the mask? They have to know, and Angle says, well, he's not going to tell us, but he's upset.
He had mad. Kurt Angle had a really, really bad mad on him tonight.
He was, to quote Joseph Park, as the boys say, hot.
Nicely done.
Thank you. Angle answers the crew by saying he's upset. He's kept this to himself the entire week, and that this is going to have rippling effects throughout the company. Angle says he's going to reveal who he saw later tonight, but for now, he's just going to keep walking down the hallway.
Yes. Yes, he is. He's just going to walk down that long hallway. It's a really long walk to get to the ring.
It is. But while Kurt Angle makes his way to the ring, taking that long walk, we have Austin Aries take the short walk down the ramp to get into the ring. He comes out and he says that... What does he say?
He couldn't get a hold of his tag team partner, Bobby Roode, but that's okay because they will still get the job done. They still got the job done last week against Hernandez, and then he turned his attention to one Jeff Hardy and Bully Ray because of their big match this Sunday. Aries said he took time out of his busy schedule to give them advice last week, but they kind of rejected him. He called out the World Heavyweight Champion Jeff Hardy to fight him here tonight.
Was tonight open fight night?
No.
Oh, okay. It confused me for a second because I was like, wait, is tonight open fight night and they didn't tell us?
No, it was not open fight night, but he made a challenge. I guess you could still make a challenge if you want. It's pro wrestling. Harry said if Hardy is half the champion he says he is, then he'll meet him in this ring and prove it.
Which, of course, prompts Jeff Hardy to come out.
Right.
Yes. Jeff Hardy slowly emerges on stage holding both the TNA belt and his personalized belt. Please, God, let that go away. Hardy then salutes the crowd and slowly takes his victory lap around the ring as he slaps hands and hugs fans. Aries gets impatient and he jumps Hardy from the ring apron, taking him down in front of the fans, and then he proceeds to beat the crap out of him. They go around the outside for a little bit before Hardy is rolled into the ring. And the ref starts the match.
I guess him coming out was him accepting the match, I guess. But we had an awesome opening contest between these two, Jeff Hardy and Austin Aries.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was a great opening contest.
Perfect way
to get you in the show.
Until the finish.
Yeah.
So basically,
would you like to go over that?
So basically what happened was, well, Matt Morgan showed up and laid out Jeff Hardy. why, I don't know. But yeah, he started to beat on him. He hit him with the Carmen footprint in the match. He then dragged him out. But then Bully Ray came out and wheeling with his, you know, vintage chain and backed Matt Morgan down. So Bully Ray came to the aid of Jeff Hardy as those two will fight on Sunday.
I'd like to point out that it should be Matt Morgan and his beard.
Matt Morgan and his beard. Does his beard have a name?
I don't know, but we're going to find out. If Daniel Bryan doesn't start calling his beard Mustang Sally, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Oh,
I don't know why I want to name it that, but that's what I want to name it.
We got more about Daniel Bryan's beard later on in the show.
Yes, but for now, it's Matt Morgan and his beard, and if anybody knows if Matt Morgan's beard has a Twitter like Eric Young's, please let me know, because I kind of want to follow it. And if there isn't one, somebody go start the damn account. Please go start that account, because that thing is just...
It's taking a on its own life right now.
It is! Like, it comes up off his face! It does! I mean, it looks like... I'm sorry, it looks like Mark Henry's beard. It really does. It's growing. It's not growing down, it's growing out.
It's protruding outward.
It's going vertical. Or, I'm sorry, it's going horizontal.
Yes. Horizontal, yes. Outward.
Outward.
Is that a better word to use? Outward?
And it's brown. Why? I guess if you have that much fur, you can't dye it. You're a man. You should know these things.
Yeah, but I don't grow that big of a beard.
Mace?
I can grow a beard, but I look more like Damien Sandow.
Dude, that would be awesome!
So you want Mace to become our Damien Sandow now?
Yes! He totally should! He's not objecting.
No, he's not.
Only because I don't have the verbal acuity of Damien Sandow. I can't speak in thesaurus talk.
Just Google a thesaurus and you can just talk that way.
Yeah.
Any word you're thinking, just put it into there and they'll tell you a different word to use.
Exactly. Hmm. But anyway, back to Impact. Now that we've completely side-railed through the show. After this match and Matt Morgan takes out Jeff Hardy and Bully Ray makes a save, we have Sting in Hulk Hogan's office. He's giving a very spirited pep talk to Magnus, James Storm, Samoa Joe, Eric Young, and yes, she's back, ladies and gentlemen. We were so excited to see her. ODB has made her return, and she's with her hubby.
ODB.
By the way,
ODB. ODB.
By the way, happy 1-year anniversary, ODB and Eric Young.
It's coming up, I think, next month, right?
I believe so, yes.
Because it was right after lockdown.
So they're coming up on their 1-year anniversary, folks. Somebody find out what they want, whether it's beer, chicken, or both.
I'd probably say all three, but
yeah. Yeah.
We'll get together. We'll come up with maybe getting them some scratch off lottery tickets.
Oh, that would be amazing. Anyway, Sting shouted and then he calms down and he vows to kick things off tonight against anyone from Aces and Eights who gets in his face. There was really no context provided for the majority of the audience that doesn't know that there's a best of three series tonight.
Yeah, they kind of missed that part of the whole thing. They forgot to mention it in their open.
Yeah, because they kept saying best of three, and it's like, when did they announce this is a best of three?
Because I didn't see it online at all. I didn't see it on the beginning of the show.
I didn't hear the announcers talk about it. Yeah, it was a little confusing, so you kind of dropped the ball just a little bit there, TNA. But, yeah, in case anybody missed it now, it was a best of three series tonight where you were having Team TNA and Team Aces and Eights square off.
To get the advantage going into the lockdown. Basically, yes. You'll have the guy come in, you know, to help give you the numbers advantage during the match. Sting was fired up tonight.
Oh, he was. Somebody took a nap before the show.
Apparently.
But, you know what, and it made it all the more better, at least until he started howling, and then it was just a little awkward.
Well, that's what Sting does. It gets a little awkward at that point. He starts screaming and howling. It's, yeah.
For those of you that don't know, this is really my first exposure to Sting in TNA. I never watched WCW, so this is, like, my first exposure to him.
Oh, just wait till he starts pounding his chest and going, woo!
A la Ric Flair?
Yes.
Oh, God, woman, I've got to give you a disc of, like, 1997 WCW.
Yes, you do. You do. You really do. Because, yes, I have been exposed to Sting in limited quantities in TNA. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Anyway. we'll have to give her a history lesson at some point. Anyway, Kurt Angle's still walking down that hallway. That really long hallway. Maybe he missed a left turn or something, but he's looking like he's getting to the ring. But before he gets to the ring, we have Matt Morgan, you know, talking to the camera and saying he knows he wants the TNA World Heavyweight title, and he vowed to get him to himself to gut Hulk Hogan's entire roster until he gets what he deserves, and that's what he thinks is the World Heavyweight title.
Yeah. Anyway,
I'm just going to say nothing for the next couple of minutes. I'm going to let Lindsay just...
go to town?
Yes.
So after this, we get an absolutely fantabulous video package highlighting the match between Kurt Angle and Wes. And no, I am not going to sing his name the entire time, just so everybody knows. I will actually say his name normally, but I have to do it at least once. I have to just applaud TNA's production staff. They are amazing. They make these videos like nobody's business, and they've always been able to do it very well. It really, at least for me, sold the match and made it just absolutely awesome. I don't know how you guys felt about it.
Oh, yes. The voiceover Kurt Angle did for that, fantastic.
Yes.
It sold the match. Simple as that, it sold the match. And that's what it needed to do, because that was the one thing I was missing. You knew why they were fighting, but now you really know why they're fighting.
Yeah, I saw the promo, and before that promo, I was very hesitant about the match. I pretty much thought of it as a throwaway. Now it's actually something I would like to see.
It
yeah.
has a reason to be in one of the three matches in a cage. There's a yeah. reason. And that's what you want. So good. I think that had to do with them being in overseas. They couldn't give you the real reason, and now they can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to see the match before because I had Wes and Angle, and I knew it was going to be a good match. But now it's just that promo package absolutely sold it. It made it feel incredibly important, and it's this. It did what it was supposed to do, which is this match matters. And you can say that actually about a lot of the matches on the lockdown card this year, is that a lot of the matches, they feel like they matter. They feel like they're important.
Right. And we'll get into that later in the show.
We will get into that later in the show. But after the fantastic video package, the Aces and Eights music plays, and out comes Mr. Briscoe in his wonderful tight ripped up jeans, which apparently he took our fashion tips on Twitter. And he beats Angle to the punch coming out to the ring. Let's see, Taz even suggests that Angle took a detour backstage or got cold feet. Maybe he tripped and hurt his ankle. Nobody really knows. But anyway, Wes is in the ring, and he looks around the building before saying he's got something to get off his chest. Please let it be that wonderful vest. Briscoe said his dad and his uncle were the two greatest wrestlers of all time, and they told Kurt that he's the best wrestler they have ever seen. And then he says, I believed it. I studied it. I wanted to be you, Wes said, until I got the chance to beat you. And this is a real summary of what he said. The promo was actually way better than what this write-up has. It was a very good promo, basically. Wes Briscoe heard Angle was the best. He wanted to study with him. He wanted to learn from him. He wanted to be him. Angle was his complete idol.
He was, and he talked about how the chants by the crowd are as worthless as the metal around the neck of Kurt Angle.
which was a fantastic shot.
It was.
Weston flails his arm like a high schooler doing a presentation after the Olympics line, and then he vows to prove that a Briscoe is better than an Angle with a cute little smirk on his face. And he was actually getting really, really good responses from the crowd because he's having to say this over a really loud what chant.
What? That's all you heard, and it didn't throw him off, and I was impressed. He did not play into the what chant.
No, he kept right on going, which was bravo.
Well done. And like I said, even in the recap says, you know, and as Taz was saying, it's a really long hallway. There's many intricate ways to get to the ring, and, you know, it's just a really long hallway.
He took the left turn at Albuquerque.
Yes, must have.
Anyway, Kurt Angle's music finally hits, and he appears on the stage. Angle says that he remembers it a tad bit differently.
Just a little bit.
He remembers a snot-nosed little kid wanting to ask questions and calling him every week. And then, of course, you know, Wes wanting to get his shot in TNA. Angle said he made a mistake trusting Wes, and he will rectify that mistake by beating Wes within an inch of his life. So before he exposes the VP of Aces and Eights, he's going to whip Wes's ass right now.
The fight is on! The fight is on! The fight is on!
Angle then storms to the ring and gets blocked by Wes. He tried to take down Angle. Angle then beat Wes out of the ring and on the outside. TNA agents eventually hit the ring, and they try to separate the two men, including D'Lo Brown, Al Snow, and Pat Kenny. The fight moved into the ring. Then Angle saw D'Lo standing next to Wes and pointed toward him, which Irish Pat and Snow didn't seem to understand. Before Angle could do anything, D'Lo punted Angle between the legs and then hugged Wes.
Kurt Angle was saying, Simon says, it was D'Lo Brown. It was D'Lo Brown.
It was him the whole time.
Simon has a problem.
And he got away with it despite the meddling kids. Taz then cackles evilly and tells them to do the math and figure it out as Brown pointed towards his... that says what I think it says. Brown pointed his gut towards the hard camera and sneered.
Yeah, he did.
D'Lo then grabbed the VP mask that Angle brought with him to the ring and said he came out here to reclaim some quote-unquote club property. D'Lo said he's going to go ahead and spoil Angle's surprise and said that D'Lo Brown is, in fact, the VP of Aces and Eights. Recognize that Angle. D'Lo shouted towards the ring before Impact cuts to break.
The only thing missing from the recognize that Angle line was D'Lo Brown shaking his head back and forth. In vintage D'Lo Brown style.
Vintage D'Lo Brown.
Vintage D'Lo Brown. Yes.
So here's the big reveal that we've all kind of been waiting for. Here's the swerve in the Aces and Eights storyline, the thing that will have ripples through TNA. What are our thoughts on this?
It's not the big surprise. It's just a storyline completion. Gets rid of all the loopholes of how they were getting in.
Right.
There's still one big surprise left, the higher power. So
true.
So D'Lo Brown being the VP to tie every little piece together of how they got in, how Wes got a job.
It's because if everybody remembers, D'Lo Brown was the one that said yes to Wes Briscoe.
And not Al Snow, because Al Snow was mistakenly, you know, not there.
Al Snow was missing.
He was missing. He was missing in action that night. And D'Lo Brown has been involved in little segments, and they've slowly put him on television. And they got his name back out there slowly, just... You know, he's an agent, but they were throwing him out there, and it kind of makes sense. Could they have done more? Yes, but as we've seen, that's not where they're going with it.
No, it's not. Mace, what did you think?
Can I abstain from this, because mine is nowhere near positive?
You can go ahead and say what you think.
Me no likey.
Okay.
This sounds like one of those, oh shit, we haven't done anything with this storyline in a while. Quick, advance it. Who we got? D'Lo, you'll do.
But he's been playing. He's been playing the character, so it makes sense. Overall, it's not the greatest.
They could have done better, but why D'Lo? If he comes out next week and goes, "You're looking at the real deal now," I'm just gonna fucking facepalm.
Only if he wears the catcher's.
The chest protector.
Yeah, the chest protector. I'm kind of with Mace, and I'm kind of with Rock on this. I think I said, either it was either on the show or in a post-show chat, that I asked if D'Lo Brown could be the leader of Aces and Eights, and everybody kind of laughed at me. And I want to say that I was a little bit surprised, but I'm a little bit not. And I was really hoping, and I guess the higher power is going to be, the, like Rock said, the huge surprise. Because I was actually a little bit disappointed. I wanted the VP to be somebody we weren't expecting, because they've done a really good job with that in the past with D'Von, with Taz, where it's people you would not generally expect to be part of this group are now a part of it. And D'Lo fits in that mold. I'm not discounting him at all for that. It's just D'Lo, at least in my opinion, is not...
He never got to that level of... He had a level back in 98, 99 where he peaked, and now it's 2013. He's a name, but he's not a name any longer.
Right. It's honestly, at least in my opinion, Taz and D'Von are bigger names than D'Lo Brown. At least.
That's because even in TNA terms, he is that far in the background that nobody notices him. You know, he doesn't even stand out as a backstage guy. He's a road agent, for fuck's sake. It's, this smacks of NWO late 98, where everybody, and they're just throwing in fucking randoms that have no idea or no real purpose. It just, that's what it feels like right now. It feels like they've stagnated on the storyline for so long that they're trying to recreate the tension that they had at the start, and it is dead, and to be honest, the Shield does a better job of it than they ever will.
Well, yeah, well, we're spoiled by the Shield. You know what I mean? We've been spoiled by the Shield and how effective they've been. Because you know what? They've actually won their matches.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree. It's slightly disappointing. I'm willing to give it a chance in my normal, positive, annoying manner and see where it goes. But it's kind of one of those things where, for me, at this stage, it's really falling flat. And it's... They delayed it initially, and they've drug it out, and they've drug it out, and they drug it out. And now we're going into lockdown, and it just doesn't have the same feel to it that it did in the beginning, where it's, we have to beat these guys. We have to take them down. If Aces and Eights had been winning the entire time and they had just been taking these guys down, it would be a lot better. But the fact of the matter is they haven't, and they keep saying they're this dominant force in TNA, but yet they can't win a match to save their goddamn lives. So it's like, I'm willing to see it out, I'm willing to see it through at this stage, but it's really starting to fall flat.
We'll get into this more later when we talk about the pay-per-view. There's probably something coming at the pay-per-view.
Oh, I would imagine there's something coming at the pay-per-view. There's gotta be at this stage.
We're building, and this is, he was not meant to be the big swerve surprise. It's another piece.
I'm more, I think, waiting for them, and then I'll just say this and then we can move on. I'm more waiting for them to find somebody to be a proper leader. Mouthpiece for the group.
It needs a leader, and we might get it soon. We'll see.
Yeah, so I think that's what I'm waiting for, and Taz would work if they would take him off of commentary and have him be the mouthpiece of the group.
Right.
Because he could, seriously, who is going to screw with Taz?
Well, all you need to do is hit him right in the back of the neck and he's shot.
Yeah, but how many people, you know, on the outside, like just looking at Taz, seriously, who's going to mess with the guy?
This is true. He's a big buff dude.
Yeah, he's a big scary looking dude. So it's, you know, he would be more believable as a leader than D-Von or D-Lo.
Right.
So that's my only kind of gripe with it is I'm waiting for that mouthpiece. I'm waiting for that ooh shiny moment. And so far we're not getting it. And hopefully we get it soon.
We shall see.
We shall see. But I'm going to take a break from talking and I'm going to let Rock take over.
You're off your soapbox now?
I'm off my soapbox now.
All right, back from break, D'Lo is talking backstage. How about that? With D-Von and the other, you know, laughing up behind them. Brown shouted at D-Von to lead the group out there to get the man advantage. There's the first hint that there's an actual thing involved in this series. Get the man advantage and lead the lockdown. Brown then broke the fourth wall, addressing the home audience at the Aces and Eights. Stand together, Brown asked Sting if he can trust the guys. Who he's going into the cage with Sunday because Brown can trust his guys. Which leads us to the first of the best of three series. I guess captain versus captain, as it were. D-Von and Sting in the first, in match one of the best of three series. Yeah, decent. Fine for what it was. Matchup.
The highlight of the match was when a fan got involved, and I'm doing the air quotes when I say that.
Fan?
The fan gets involved and throws a beer in Sting's face, and then Sting is thrown into the ring post, which busts him wide open.
Did they learn from if something happened or off? You get thrown in the ring post, put your hand up.
Yeah, no.
No.
But it was actually, even though the recap's kind of making fun of it, it was actually really, really good that security basically comes and drags the quote-unquote fan away.
Yes, it was good. It was, you know, it sold it, and D-Von picked up the victory, giving Team Aces and Eights the leg up, as it were, in the first matchup.
Yes.
We have backstage Lady Tapa and Evelise Velez backstage waiting, anticipating their gut check later in the show. Speaking of backstage cameraman, we have a cameraman, Velvet Sky, what it feels like to be Knockouts champion again, which you saw Gail Kim walking back behind her. So, you know, once Gail Kim, Velvet Sky started talking, Gail Kim would be right there, and she was. She said that she will, you know, beat Gail Kim for the Knockouts title lockdown. Gail said she's undefeated at lockdown, then asked if she's listening to her repeatedly, and then, well, Velvet slapped her right across the face. And then asked, did you hear that?
Gail is such a good bitch. I'm sorry. She really is. If you've ever met her, she's the nicest person in the world, but God, she's so effective as a bad girl. She really is.
She is.
I kind of heart her.
She is. So that sets up the matchup Sunday. We'll get a little more into it in just a bit. But backstage, I guess this was last week's segment, because they had different jackets. Bruce Pritchard and Al Snow said that Taz will no longer be a part of Gut Check anymore. But they needed a new judge, and it's Danny Davis, the head trainer at OVW. So,
yay.
You know, it was, you know, I guess that's the right choice, because it makes no sense for Taz to actually be involved, because he's now the enemy.
It's a nice sell of the storyline.
By the way, for all the crap we've been giving Taz on commentary lately, him complaining about not being a good judge anymore was funny tonight.
Oh, that was hilarious. I get fired, nobody tells me.
You know, no one gave him the FedEx.
Yeah, nobody gave him the FedEx, you know. He didn't even get a phone call.
Nothing, not an email.
Not that he's upset, mind you. He's just saying.
Just saying.
Yeah, he's just saying, you know. That was great.
So anyway, again, we're backstage, and then we have Bruce Pritchard, Danny Davis, and Al Snow. With Al Snow in his bright red jacket.
Oh, jeez.
Talking.
Did he raid the Sinister Minister's wardrobe or something?
Must have been.
I think he did. I remember seeing Jim Mitchell wear that jacket at one point.
They must have been cleaning up the closets at the Impact Zone and just said, here, I'll wear this.
Believe me, he's worn worse stuff on television.
Oh, yes, he has. He shops at some weird stores. Anyway, they were there with the ladies, and this is where I go, they made the wrong decision because they said, Lady Tepa, you move on, and Evelise, you are dismissed.
Yeah, I call, I'm with Kane Kittens on this one. I call shenanigans. I call serious shenanigans.
You go, okay, you go with the girl who has a family lineage in the wrestling business. That's the reason why. Yeah, like, okay, just to give it their friggin' thinking, I'm not saying it's right, you know, because they always need another fucking brunette with boobs to put on the fucking roster.
Wait, Mace. You're giving the positive spin?
Yeah, I'm trying to give the positive spin. Deal with it. But when you look at it, they're always going to go for the people that have some sort of connection to the business. Right. You got family. Plus, she's like 7 foot tall, either that or Bruce Pritchard is really fucking short.
The
girl she was up against was a fucking midget.
Well, she's small, but she is tall.
And she's got a marketability. I'll give him that. But other than that, all the negative stuff and the fact that the crowd shit all over her, I agree completely with it. I'm just saying, I'm doing the Spug thing and giving you the business side of this.
The business side. Yeah. As from a worker's perspective.
I can see that side of it. I can absolutely agree with it, but it's just, I really wasn't that impressed with her. And with a division that desperately needs women that are ready to go, Invalise is ready. You could stick her in the roster tomorrow, and she's good to go.
Right.
She's got some kinks that she needs worked out. But otherwise, she's fine. And I also just, I happen to like Invalise. I think she's pretty damn good, honestly. I can see a lot of myself in her because she's short, she's feisty, and she can kind of kick ass. I mean, when was the last time you saw a girl use the guillotine choke like that? When? Other than UFC. At least I think that's what it's called. And you're both just sitting there blinking at me.
I am trying not to comment only because, well, I didn't see the match last week.
Oh, sorry. Rock? And of course he BRVs. Fine! Never mind. Anyway, I can totally see that business per side of it, but I don't like her. I like Invalise better. So I'm biased.
Personally, like I said, I haven't seen the match, so I can't really jump up and down and say, you know, exactly what the fuck's going on, but just looking at them, regardless of wrestling ability, whatever.
Right.
Evelise just looked generic. She looked like another brunette with tits. That was it.
Yeah, you need to watch. Because she had a different style. She actually showed some MMA skills.
Oh, look, she'll probably end up getting a contract anyway.
Oh, we know. It just, you know, bad decision.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those things where it really felt like the only reason Lady Tapa moved on was because of the fact that she's second generation.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what kind of irked me was Invalise, you were really good and it was a really hard decision, but Lady Tapa, we're going to move you on because, well, you grew up in the business and you're second generation.
Pretty much.
So that's what it felt like, and that's what was kind of irritating. Was it's like, you know, you didn't even give Invalise a fair shot. You're like, okay, yeah, we're just going to humor you and give you a match and pat you on your head, and when you're done, we're going to send you away.
Yeah, well, again, it's the business side of things overriding what should happen. And I pointed that out I believe I put that to you on the later portion where they're going through the actual gut check decisions. The crowd is shitting on everything.
Oh, yeah.
And it's showing that TNA aren't listening to the crowd. They're doing whatever the fuck they want.
Well, you know, they're leaving Orlando anyhow, so it doesn't matter. But the exactly. Orlando crowd,
oh, look, they could have done this anywhere, and it probably would have got the same reaction.
Oh, I know.
But, I mean, honestly, I can, like I said, I see the business side of it. I see the potential in her. It's just, if you watch the match, she was not 100% comfortable in the ring. She's not ready to go. They're going to send her to OVW, and she's going to be down there for a year or two. And she's not ready to go. And that's the thing. It's like your knockouts division is so lacking right now. It needs people, and I'm sure, like you said, Invalise will probably get a contract and we'll see her again. At least I hope they do. If they're smart, they will bring her in. But that's my opinion. We're calling shenanigans, at least a couple of us.
Shenanigans.
But anyway, moving on. Congratulations to Lady Tapa for moving on, by the way.
Yes, moving on to the gut check portion of the show.
Well, no, we're actually, there's a match in between.
Right. We have a six-person tag team matchup, Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez, and with Velvet Sky, taking on Daniels, Kazarian, and Gail Kim.
The best part of this match were the girls and their involvement in it.
I will agree.
I liked the fact that you had Velvet grab, I believe it was Daniel's ankle, and Gail getting in there and choking Chavo out and really getting involved while the guys were in the ring as opposed to just standing there.
Gail has always played the good third in a trio.
She has.
If you go way back in the days of TNA, she always played the good third.
She looked like almost a natural fit with those guys.
She does.
She fits in so well, and well, didn't they say that they wanted to have the Knockouts title at some point?
No, that was the other duo.
Nah, too many duos with awesome in them.
It was the rip-off duo of Aries and Rude, as coined by Lindsay earlier tonight in our Frankie Kazarian interview.
Yeah.
But by the way, I've just grabbed the match for Gut Check. Yeah, I can see what you guys mean. This girl is very, very green.
Yeah.
So by the end of the match, there's a segment, Mace will be on our side. Anyway. We will turn him. Promise. Anyway, Team Gale won.
Team Gale won. Daniels and Kaz sold it like $1 million, even though they didn't get the pin.
But that's what you expect them to do. They're the next World Tag Team Champions of the world.
Not redundant.
Not redundant at all.
Is it wrong I want Gale to kind of hang out with them now, just because of how well she fits with them?
No, it's not wrong.
Because she's standing there giving Taryn Terrell crap, and they're standing there posing and being all excited, and it's like, yeah, you can worship us now. It's okay.
And you did.
And we did. Well, we worship Kaz, you know.
Anyway.
We have a very angry Sting backstage who desperately needs a Band-Aid.
Yep.
And he's bashing a chair with his baseball bat before he's asking Magnus and Samoa Joe if he can trust them. Joe shouted back that they can trust him. Magnus then rekindled their old feud, yelling at Joe that he can't trust him, but they're at war. Magnus said he will show everyone just who he is tonight.
Okay.
But up next, we have an AJ Styles update.
An AJ Styles update? Awesome.
Yes, the cameras remained in Gainesville for a week where they continue to stalk AJ Styles. If you're going to stalk anybody, hire iSpy. They're the best. Just saying.
You know, we can get your number. We have connections with a certain member of Paparazzi Productions.
We do. We can hook you up. So TNA cameras, they catch up with AJ hanging out at a local biker bar. They pull over and get out of the car. We see AJ's talking to a local biker who looks suspiciously like Mr. Anderson.
Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Tap your chin. Styles then grabs one of the TNA reps by the throat and shoves him into the passenger side of the car. Styles then grabs the cameraman and tells them both to leave.
AJ has a man. Yeah. So, yeah, it looked like Mr. Anderson he was talking with, because they were trying not to show you the back of the vest the guy was wearing and the white t-shirt. Yeah, it looked like it said Aces and Apes on the back of the vest. I'm just pointing that out there. Maybe I saw something wrong. Maybe this is the twist. Maybe this is the leader. We'll talk about that later.
I wonder.
You will wonder, because it leads into the next matchup. AJ Styles put out a tweet, and he's going to be in Chicago next week.
I wonder what's going to happen.
But anyway, up next, match number two in the best of three. Determine the man advantage at Lethal Lockdown. Doc, or Steve, and Garrett Bischoff taking on Magnus and Samoa Joe.
In a pretty good match.
Fine match. Garrett Bischoff was there, but everyone else was really good.
Garrett Bischoff is getting better.
He's getting better, yes. He's getting better.
I have to say, I actually like him in this Aces and Eights role.
It's a perfect role for him right now, because he's not ready to be out on his own, so he needs to be a part of a group that he can just beat up people.
Right, and honestly, the people that he's working with in Aces and Eights are a perfect group for him to learn from and mentor from.
He fits. Magnus and Joe pick up the victory over Steve and Garrett.
So they're tied 1-1 in the best of three series. Who's going to break the tie?
We'll get there.
But backstage, we see Lady Tapa. She's walking backstage. It's part two of the gut check. And Lady Tapa will face the judges next.
Hopefully she found the right way to get to the ring, not the Kurt Angle way.
Yeah. But we don't have to worry about the Kurt Angle way anymore, so.
This is true.
We have a Kenny King sighting. He's standing there holding the X Division title, and he talks about being the star of the X Division. He issued a message to the former champ, Rob Van Dam, that his time is now. King said he's asking for challengers one or two at a time, and it starts at Lockdown.
All right, before you continue, this is reminding me of something that happened earlier in the show that wasn't in the recap. When they were introducing Danny Davis, and we had he talked about how he's training all these people in the business, even the guy you can't see.
Oh yes, the John Cena drop.
The hashtag John Cena reference on Impact Tonight, because he even did the hand motion. You can't see me. Yeah. Anyway, continue.
Yes. Anyway. Let's see, further this, continuing backstage, I should say, we have James Storm, Eric Young, and ODB who are standing by.
Again, big hallway. There's a lot of area. So everybody
massive
be different,
hallway.
Yeah, big, wide, people can be standing everywhere. All right, continue.
Sting walks up, still in need of a Band-Aid. Eric Young said that he gets it, that Sting has to pick between Storm and himself on who's going to face the Aces and Eights tonight. EY said that he's the funny guy, but he will prove to Sting why he made the right choice putting him on his team. EY said that he ain't delivering a punchline because he's all business. Then Sting thanked him for the speech. Sting goes on to say that he's got to go with Storm, though. Sting walks off. Then EY sold the frustration that he's not being taken seriously. And ODB comforted them.
Aww.
Poor EY. But he's back.
EY and ODB are back together again. Yeah.
Reunited, and it feels so good. Anyway.
Oh, well.
Thank you. Jeremy Borash is in the ring with the judges of Gut Check. Bruce Pritchard, who gets massively booed. Al Snow, who gets a pop. And Danny Davis, who gets a meh. All rights go to Mace. JB welcomes out Lady Tapa to learn her fate. Out comes Tapa as Taz spent a good while saying this isn't about himself. He absolutely sold this. Once in the ring, Tapa was asked if she gave her best performance last week. Tapa waited out the boos before telling the crowd to shut up. She then said that last week in this ring, pause for loud, no chance, she showed everyone in TNA why she is capable of doing. Tapa said she might not have won that match, but she showed everyone that in 2 years she did this, so imagine what she's capable of in 2 more years. JB then asked Davis for his vote. Davis said he listened to the crowd, but what they're missing is what he's seen from this lady. He said he sees a future in Tapa, so his answer is yes. Bruce Pritchard speaks next. He gives a nice little speech about Paul Bearer.
Yes. We should mention the show opened with a picture of Paul Bearer as well.
Yes, very, very classy by TNA to do that. He says that he would like this time to say that Paul Bearer will be very much missed. He said Bearer would appreciate the business at hand here. Pritchard said that Tapa looks like she owns it in the ring, but for the first time, the crowd actually agrees with him, so his answer is no. Bruce Pritchard saying no to a female wrestler. What a shock!
Where's my surprise face? I can't. I left it over there. Anyway.
Continue. Yeah, yeah. Oh, wait. I don't have one. Tapa is then given the floor to kick out by convincing Al Snow that she deserves a spot. She goes on to say that she knows what she can do in the future to help TNA and dominate the Knockouts division. Snow was then asked to make his decision. Snow briefly shouted out to Paul Bearer before acknowledging Tapa and getting a reaction from the crowd. So his answer is yes.
He said Uncle Paul.
He said Uncle Paul, yes.
So Lady Tapa gets her contract.
Yeah. She,
go Mace.
After viewing the match, okay, after viewing the match, she is fucking green. Extremely, and it shows something shocking. However, that being said, Eva Lys isn't all that crash hot either.
But she's
better than Tapa.
She was better than Tapa.
Marginally. She was able to get around the ring without looking like a lumbering idiot. But at the same time, she didn't show anything special. Yeah, she used a rear naked choke. Good for her. But I just didn't see anything in her.
Okay.
Yeah, so... But, to be honest, she did have more skill in the ring.
She still needs some fine-tuning, but you can see where she was in Tough Enough and where she is now.
Yeah, and considering your other choice, well...
So TNA made the wrong choice, and it was shenanigans?
Yeah, they made the wrong choice. I wouldn't say shenanigans, but they did what they believed is right for business. As we all know, what is right for business is better than anybody's actual opinion. Isn't that right?
We're not going to touch that.
I don't know what you're cooking. Anyway, moving on.
Up next is James Storm versus the disappearing act Mr. Anderson for the final match of the Best of Three series. But first we have Robbie E. backstage, and he's sending a message to Big Rob saying that he will never ever be on the list again after lockdown on Sunday. This, of course, then takes us back out to the Impact Zone, where Aces and Eights music plays for the last time this evening, and we have Mr. Anderson coming out, who is dressed in the vest, white t-shirt, and black biker gloves, and designer blue jeans, which I love that they add that. James Storm, 7-0 on TNA Impact this year, comes out and was introduced to face Anderson, and this was a solid match.
Solid match, which saw, you know, a clusterfuck at some point, and Mr. Anderson picking up the victory.
Yeah, there were some shenanigans in the match. That seems to be the word of the night. basically Aces and Eights come out, Team TNA comes out, there's a scuffle, but Anderson is able to score the mic check on a distracted Storm, and he picks up the victory. So,
yes,
lockdown this Sunday.
Yeah, this is the right move, I would think.
I would have to agree.
Because you want the heels to get the advantage going into the show.
Right.
And that's fine. Good move. Good move on their part. Smart booking. Even though it's Storm losing, but it was smart booking. And whenever you say 7-7-0, you mean that, you know, they're going to lose next.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's time for our main event segment of the night, presented by probably 5-Hour Energy. Or was that the match? Either way, this segment is brought to you by memlanepromo.com. Anyway, we have Bully Bray and Brooke Hogan coming to the ring first. And then Jeff Hardy came out as we get the final showdown between the two. With everyone in the ring, Ray hyped that their TNA title match is this Sunday at Lockdown. Ray said in 3 days they will do what they do best, which is make pro wrestling history. He said they've done it before and they'll do it again. Ray said he'd never said this before. He said that the fact that Hardy holds this title, the World Heavyweight title, is a pretty big deal. But that Hardy has battled back from so many personal demons in his career, his life, and it's a bigger deal. Ray said he speaks for every fan here and at home and for himself that he's actually proud of Jeff Hardy, who just stood there.
In his bright red shoes.
In his bright red, dirty-looking shoes. Hardy then took the mic, said since he's been champ, Aries Rude Daniels have tried to beat him down, but he's remained the World Heavyweight Champion. Hardy said he knows Ray will beat him up on Sunday, but will it be enough? Hardy said he's also proud of Ray, and that made Bully Ray go, huh? Ray replied that he expected greatness from himself, but he never been able to say he's actually proud of himself. He said he won't be able to do that until he beats Hardy for the title. And it's not by going over the top of the cage or walking through the door. He's going to beat Hardy with his best move. And then he avowed that he will be the World Heavyweight Champion on Sunday. Then suddenly, we had Hulk Hogan's music play. Going, huh? Is he going to be here? What? What? And Hulk Hogan shows up, and he's basically out on his crutches. He's actually using his crutches, unlike Vince McMahon, because Hogan actually needs them. Hogan said they are in need of a leader for the future of TNA. He said he will be at Lockdown to find out who the next TNA champion is at Lockdown, so he's, you know, in his roundabout way, saying, yeah, Hardy's going to lose. Hogan said Ray is like family, and that may the best man win. And Bullet Ray was perfect by saying, but I'm family. In the middle of this. But, yeah, Hogan talked it up and talked about Jeff Hardy's done and what Bully Ray has done, and he's looking forward to the matchup, and may the best man win.
Yeah, greatest part of this segment was Hogan's like, you're like family to me, and then they cut to Ray, and Ray just mouths, but I am family!
I am family, yeah. So, they shake hands, we had a good match, about battle of two men who respect each other, proud of each other, and then suddenly the Aces and Eights appear, and the fight is on. The Aces and Eights come out. They all brawl with Hardy and Bully Ray. Out comes Team TNA. It's a big out brawl to end the show.
This is the second
big ass brawl that we've had tonight.
You can never have too many big ass brawls.
To be honest, I thought the show ended before the whole that final segment. I don't know what it was, but it was just whether the way it was booked, handled, or whatever. I thought the show ended, like, 15 minutes early for the first time ever.
Yeah,
And when Bully and Brooke came out, I'm like, oh, wait, there's more? What? I just had to double-check the time.
Yeah, they were doing a horrible job tonight of promoting what's coming up later in the show.
Yeah, I'm kind of with... I'm with Mace. It was like, oh, this is a fantastic way to close the show. Oh, wait, there's still more.
But there's more!
But wait, there's more! So, yeah, it was just... It was a nice way to send it to Lockdown.
It was. Anything can happen. That's why they need to be in a cage, so they can't brawl like that.
Well, they can, but they do it in the cage.
Right. It will all contain itself inside the cage, at Lockdown. Good show. Good way to close. It was a nice go home. It promoted every single match that's going to be happening.
Like I said earlier, what was nice was it made almost every match, or pretty much every match, feel important.
Yes.
There aren't a lot of throwaways on that show, but we're going to get into that after the break, right?
Yes, we are.
So when we come back, we've got, of course, our Tweet of the Week, our Lockdown Preview and Pick'em, where we're going to tell you more about our Memorabilia Lane Challenge. And, well, we're going to tell you a little bit about Dan O'Brien's beard off, what he's got going on. So you're listening to The Wreck right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
There are plenty of wrestling radio shows that consider themselves to be award-winning, yet they are full of flaws. While Wrestle Talk Radio continues to bring you the best wrestling talk on the internet today, with no production flaws. Tune in Sunday nights for Wrestle Talk Radio, the best value in wrestling radio. We're just saying.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Hey man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
Been fresh and neat since 1983.
Well, that ain't good.
The cover from the Vipers only got one eye.
You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say?
And I don't give a damn if you don't like me.
Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can, watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on WildTalkRadio.com, just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood Paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Showtime Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by PWMania.com and MemLanePromo.com. Go click over there and for all your memorabilia needs, and stay tuned for our contest involving MemLanePromo.com, where you have the chance to win an autographed free Kurt Angle photo.
Yes, it's kind of awesome.
It is kind of awesome. But first, before we get there, a little tweet of the week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Can I go? From at Triple H, hey at Shawn Michaels, I just figured out how to follow you. Only took three days, damn, I'm good. And then Shawn Michaels replied to him as well. Hopefully I can find it really quickly.
Oh, Shawn replied?
Shawn replied to him. It was something about how, it took WWE, 5 days to retweet it. So, yeah. That's one. I find it, from AJ Lee, I find it really creepy that I, in quotations, magically tweeted my own entrance during my own entrance. Sorry about that. Also, I'm apparently a wizard. Paul Heyman goes, hashtag frightening, @MarkHenry just ate an Oreo cookie pie. And then own the weight room.
Wow.
That's a boss.
It is. From at Shawn Michaels, there better be an hashtag old school Raw mullet on Raw tonight, or I riot. I'm waiting for the riot. There was no mullet on Raw. Sadly.
It's a quiet riot.
Nicely played. And finally, Ricardo Rodriguez. So what if I'm doing my grocery shopping in my Zubaz? So what? Hashtag Zubaz Nation.
I love Ricardo. He tweets like a 5-year-old. It's amazing.
It is amazing. It really is.
Mace, do you have any?
Well, I'll continue down the AJ Lee road, because she actually had quite a few good ones this week. We'll start off with, today I learned that Dolph is great with kids. We make great parents. Hey Ziggy, when are we having babies? While celebrating in the ring last night, Ric Flair pelvic thrusted with great purpose in my general direction. I cannot unsee that.
He wants her to ride Space Mountain. Woo! Get that mental
poor
image.
Poor girl.
Get that mental image out of your head. Anyway.
I'm trying.
Just look at that picture of her backside. That's all you need to do.
Hey, now.
Yeah, I know. And the last one I've got from her, which is probably going to steal one of Lindsay's. I walked in the Target looking for new luggage. I somehow only purchased this. He's so dreamy. The attached pic is a picture of a Kane figure.
Nice! I hadn't seen that one.
That was posted somewhat earlier, but yeah, there's the picture. It's just a picture of...
She posted one of... sent her a picture of, you know, her exes.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know, the exes and the action figures of John Cena and CM Punk.
Yep.
That was tremendous, too.
Yes, there was lots of awkward staring and talking about the weather.
Yeah.
I love how she will play along. This is amazing.
I know. It's tremendous.
Mine actually is not a AJ Lee tweet. It ties into what we're going to talk about next, which, if you haven't heard or you didn't see on Twitter, Daniel Bryan has challenged Josh Reddick to a beard off.
Yes, he has.
And
okay, before you go any further, who the fuck is Josh Reddick?
He's a baseball player for the Giants.
I don't think is it the okay. Giants.
Is he still playing for the Giants, or did he get moved?
He's in Oakland A.
Okay, so he's in Oakland A now. So basically, the guy has a massive, epic beard, and Daniel Bryan has challenged him to a beard off, and whoever has the biggest beard by the end of the year has to shave it off.
Yes. And Major League Baseball star Josh Reddick has actually accepted the submission specialist challenge over the Twitter to a beard off, in which fans will vote on which athlete has the best beard, and the loser will have to shave off their long whiskers at the end of the year.
Yes.
And you know how you make that even more epic? Do it as a thing for charity.
Oh, most likely.
Oh, they probably will. But Daniel Bryan...
Donate the beard to the beardless.
So they can become the beard of the beard of the beardless?
Whiskers of love or whatever?
Something like that.
But anyway, Daniel Bryan then, after this challenge was accepted, proceeded to go off on Twitter a couple days ago, or yesterday I should say, sending insults to Josh Reddick, saying certain things of, my beard is so hot it's stolen, your beard looked like Gary Coleman. Hashtag beard off. So, Eric Young gets in on the action, which is just tremendous. At WWE, Daniel Bryan, at Josh Reddick 16. Brothers with beards don't fight brothers with beards. Gotta hug. Hashtag Tommy Boy. Hashtag beard gang.
Very nice. And Daniel Bryan continued beforehand. He encouraged all his followers to mock Josh Reddick 16 on Twitter and mock his beard at every opportunity. And let him know that Daniel Bryan is the hashtag king of beards. Reddick has already countered Bryan's goading with a message of his own to his Twitter followers. Fans, it's time. Let's get at WWE Daniel Bryan so mad that he has to challenge me in the ring. Hashtag guest lock. Hashtag Bernie Bomb. Hashtag yes, yes, yes.
This is going to be tremendous. I can already tell.
So, just when we thought after WrestleMania the beard we'd be going bye-byes. Oh, no.
No. Oh, no. No.
It's going to grow another person.
Which is terrifying.
It is terrifying. It really, really is terrifying.
They need to have... I don't know why, but I want Damian Sandow to be a part of this as well. Like, they just need to get all the guys with the beards together and do this. Like, have Damian Sandow or Mark Henry be Daniel Bryan's beard coach.
I can see that.
Just because I don't know. But anyway, so moving on, we're just going to skip over the rest of the news for time's sake. We are going to go ahead and go into lockdown, our extended preview.
Our 9.5-minute extended exclusive preview right here on the rack.
Yes. So,
where shall we begin?
Yeah, I was going to say, where shall we begin other than... I'm excited for this pay-per-view.
Oh, this is going to be a fantastic show because, let's face it, they've had time to build up to it, and the matches that they're putting on are ones you actually want to see for the most part.
Yeah, I think, and I mentioned to you when we were doing this in show prep, was everybody was so happy when TNA cut back on their pay-per-views, and one of the things is it's like you really didn't miss that in-between pay-per-view, and it's... It hasn't been, oh my god, when will lockdown get here? It's an excited, at least for me, oh my god, when is lockdown going to get here? Because they've done the build so well on this that we're now at the pay-per-view. It hasn't felt that long in between shows, and you really want to see it. Mm-hmm. It's like you want to get there to get those payoff matches so you can see what's going to happen next, and I really have to applaud them for doing that.
I'm with you. It's going to be one of those shows where every match has a purpose. There's a reason behind every match. It's not just something thrown together like in the past. And, yeah, it's going to be... And it's not... For the first time in history, it's not every match in a cage. There'll be some people say, oh, but the tradition is it has to be. But at the same time, tradition needs to change, and if you're going with three big matches in a cage, it will make those three matches feel special.
Yeah, not every match needs to be in the cage because, frankly, not every match deserves to go in the cage. And so, it, like Rock said, it does kill the specialness of the cage if everything's in it, because some of these feuds just haven't been built up to need a cage.
Right. There are certain aspects when the cage needs it, and you know, for the women's match, it doesn't need it right now. And it's a lot safer for those performers, especially when you're doing a three-way tag match. Yeah, it's going to get a little crowded in the cage.
Yeah, it's honestly, I would love to see the girls go in the cage, but there's really no need for it.
Right.
So that being said, we're going to go ahead, unless Mace, I'm sorry, has any comments.
I'm good.
Before we get into the actual matches, I want to bring up something about the Alamodo.
Okay, go right ahead.
Okay, so we know we've all questioned the decision of being in the Alamo Dome, and from all accounts, this is going to be the highest attended event in U.S. event in TNA history, which I believe they have to break 5,500. And if they're able to do that, that's a tremendous feat by them. They've had to open the way they've set it up. They've actually had to open up seats, which they just did this past week. Apparently they've pushed the set as far back as they can, so they can get more seats down there.
Great!
So they're selling tickets to the event, which is what you want. Which is the perfect thing. Now, the reason they chose the Alamo Dome, Dixie Carter said in an interview this week that she's been wanting to run the San Antonio market, and the reason is they chose the Alamo Dome is because, well, certain companies have the exclusive rights to certain buildings they would want to run.
Ah.
So it's getting into the market. Apparently there are many ways to make the Alamo Dome seem like a big deal when you shrink it down. And we'll judge it, because I know we will, on Sunday, on actually how it looks. I hope it looks good. I hope they know what they're doing. And if they can actually put almost 6,000 people in that building, tremendous.
Oh, I agree. The thing about it is as long as it looks full on your camera shots, it's fine. It's not, at least in my opinion, going to look that bad. It's when it's partially empty, but if they have at least 5,500 people there, it's going to look good.
And that's what you want. Apparently, also, the Chicago show's doing pretty well, too.
Good. Like I said, when we originally talked about them going to the Alamo Dome, we all said we wanted them to prove us wrong. We all said we wanted them to do well in San Antonio. And it's so good to hear that they are selling tickets, and they're not going to have to do a lot of papering, which is great for them. It just shows that this is something that they've made the right decision here. And unfortunately, you know, the reason behind them having to book the Alamo Dome is because, well, WWE's got the contracts and they're enforcing them. That kind of stinks. But if they can be successful with the Alamo Dome and make it look good, then they can pull that off everywhere.
Right, and then 2 years from now, they can run the building again.
Are they still taping off 90% of the building, though?
Yeah. Yes. They're still taping off that. Yeah.
Okay. Look, as impressive as it is, you know, it'll impress me more if they have to extend how much of the Alamo Dome they're using.
They have. They've opened up. They've gone up levels now. They've opened up higher levels.
No. Not up levels. I'm talking more of the actual
arena. Yeah, I know.
Arena.
I know. Well, they're getting there. I know. That was our biggest complaint from before, is you're in a small little area, yeah. Hopefully they get 6,000 plus people in there, and it sounds good Sunday. Which we'll break it all down on Sunday on WTR.
Yes. So tune in and listen. 11 p.m. Eastern.
Because you never know what will happen on Russell Talk Radio this Sunday.
Oh God, I'm scared now.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I'm scared now.
You never know what's going to happen on WrestleTalk Radio this Sunday, because even we don't get told what the hell's going on until the last minute.
Is somebody going to come and save us?
They may. We will see what happens Sunday.
But starting out, are we okay to go ahead and take a
let's go ahead. Let's go into these matches.
All right, so we have the feud of the Robbies. Robbie E is taking on Robbie T in the split-up match to start out the card.
Bro-off. It's going to be a bro-off.
Bro-off.
This one's going to be... They're going to probably keep really short. It's going to be... My guess is this is the start of the build of Rob Terry.
I would say so. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see something from Rockstar Spud in this.
The fake Cassie Riley.
Yes, the fake Cassie Riley. CassieRiley.net for all your Cassie Riley needs. Just to kind of sort of help Robbie T out a little bit.
Possibly. But I don't think he... It could happen. I don't think he needs it, per se, because have you seen Robbie T? Look how big he is.
He doesn't need it, but it would be a good way to help get Spud over as well, because they haven't really... I don't think he's debuted in the U.S. market yet. He's obviously been on Impact in England, but they have not brought him over to the States for him. He obviously did not appear tonight, and just to have him at Lockdown and have him there would be a nice way to sort of just introduce him fully to the market.
Oh, it would. I'm with you. I'm not sure that'll happen. I see Robbie E getting a beat down off his life for about 3 minutes. That's just how I'm picturing it. I just picture him just beating the ever little crap out of Robbie E.
What's the next pay-per-view after this one?
Slammiversary in June.
In June? Yeah, I'm going to go with Robbie T on this one, just because I don't think they can push this out to June.
No, but they could do the brilliance of doing weekly live shows is it could be built up to a match on Impact.
This is true as well.
So I'm just throwing that out there for your, you know, maybe you have Robbie E steal the victory. Maybe hit him with the list.
He could.
Or better yet, Robbie E gets a new bro.
A new bro.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he gets a new bro that you know, aligns with him and screws over Robbie T, and then we have some sort of alliance between a new bro and Robbie E.
We could.
I'm just throwing out all scenarios I can possibly think of. Anyway, picks. Mace.
All right. Well, before I make my pick on this one, I have to correct Robbie E on one thing. The first rule. And it is not the Book of Bro. It is the Bro Code, motherfucker. Written by the Ultimate Bro himself, Barney Stinson. And the first rule reads, and I quote from the Bro Code, bros before hoes. Learn your shit, bitch. That being said, I'm going with Big Rob. I'm going with Robbie T.
Let's see.
I'll go with Robbie T on this one. Yeah, they could do a blow-off match on Impact, but I think this is really the blow-off, is break him off from Robbie E and have him move on.
Robbie T, I'll make it unanimous.
Alrighty, well, up next, we have your Knockouts Championship on the line, where Gail Kim is taking on Velvet Sky. In a highly, at least for me, a highly anticipated match.
Why is it so highly anticipated for you?
I love Gail. And I would absolutely love to see her win the title back at Lockdown.
Right.
Because as much as Velvet deserves it, Velvet's not really doing a lot for me.
Right. And you have to throw in the fact that I threw in tonight, which is the curse of all curses.
Gail has a streak.
She has a streak at Lockdown. She's undefeated at Lockdown. That scary streak of probably about 3 now. Maybe. I don't even know. But yeah, she has that scary streak where you show up at an event and you never, ever lose. Or do you?
I don't know. Does she or doesn't she?
That is the question in hand. Mace, who you got?
I'm gonna stick with Velvet on this one. I don't know, like, I think the curse of the streak. Just, they're playing Gal Kim up way too much. So I reckon that there's going to be shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
Shenanigans. And Velvet Sky wins.
Lindsay.
As much as I want Gail to win, I'm going with Velvet on this one. They just put the belt on her in London. There's no sense to take it off of her this early, especially since she just returned not too long ago. And I'm sure at least nice title run was promised to her in order to get her to come back. So I'm going with Velvet.
Yeah, I'm going to make it unanimous again. Velvet Sky retains the title in what should be a pretty good battle between the two ladies, especially with Gail Kim involved. They can carry. She can carry one Velvet Sky to a pretty good match on the pay-per-view. And they don't have to worry about the cage like previous years. They can have a straight-up wrestling match.
Right, and Ben Bell, who sent me his picks on Twitter, on Facebook, is taking Velvet.
Oh, this just then, we have apparently two new matches.
We have two new matches.
Mm-hmm. We'll break them down here. First up, Joseph Parks takes on Joey Ryan.
What?
This is from Kinkins in the chat room. Where were these announced? I did not see them. Unless they're on the Twitters or something.
Are you sure, King Gittins?
Proof, motherfucker, or they don't exist.
It's on ImpactWrestling.com. Okay, there we go. There it is.
All right. Well, in that case, let's move on to Parks versus Joey Ryan.
the throwaway match. Park. Easy.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Joseph Parks.
Parks.
Yeah, this one will make Alan go, Joey Ryan's on pay-per-view! Yeah, no one cares. Shot one. Anyway.
And then we have Kenny King taking on Zema Ion, taking on Christian York.
Okay, this one is surprising right now. What happened to Rob Van Dam? They sort of, something on the TV and the match don't add up. The way Kenny King's promo was, it's setting up a match. I guess they can't fly Rob in, I guess, is the reason.
Well, isn't he going to be there for fan access?
I don't know. He is not listed anywhere.
Okay.
I don't see him listed right now, so... Yeah. It's interesting. TV sets up, was setting up the one, and this is announced. That's... There might be more to this story.
There might be more to this story. I think Kenny King just said he's taking on all comers, and he challenged Rob Van Dam. But Van Dam...
He said he'd take them on one at a time, or two at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just kind of interesting.
Which gives them the leeway to either put in the one-on-one match with Rob Van Dam, or the three-way that they've gone with.
Yes, I understand this. It's just, I don't know, there's maybe something to this.
I know, it stinks of high heaven of something else should be there, but it probably isn't.
No, in the back of my hand...
Get your tinfoil hat off your head, Rock!
I'm thinking contracts may have expired. Anyway, moving on. Let's make some picks.
Are we going to make it unanimous for King, or does anybody else have a different pick?
Unanimous.
Mace?
Pretty much.
All right, we're all taking Kenny King. Again, just won the belt. No reason to take it off of him.
Yeah, pretty much. Unless Rob Van Dam shows up and screws him. Anyway.
Which he could. Up next is your tag team championship match, in which Bad Influence takes on Bobby Roode and Austin Aries, your champions, and they also take on Hernandez and Chavo.
The Mexicans will get pinned. The Mexicans will get pinned. And Bobby Roode and Austin Aries retain.
Yeah, as much as I would love to see the championship suspenders, I'm going to have to give it to Roode and Aries.
Yeah, they're building Rude and Ares right now, and again, I would love to see the suspenders. I would love to see Daniels and Kaz have the belts back. But at this stage, I don't think it's going to happen.
Think about the, like, going back to the interview we did with Frankie Theron. Championship suspenders. Oh my god, that would be so cool.
If they came out on Sunday night in rainbow suspenders, I would pop to high heaven.
No kidding. That would be awesome. Amazing. I could totally... just picture them doing that angle with the suspenders.
Oh, I can totally see it in my head. When it's like it came out of his mouth, and it just the mental image was there.
Now, as far as this match goes, 6 solid workers. Should be really good, I would think. It's been apparent that
this is your potential match stealer of the night.
It has that. And it's been apparent they haven't flown Bobby Roode in for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, Bobby Roode's been taking a little mini vacation, so yeah. And Ben Bell is taking Aries and Roode as well.
Yeah, you could just send those to Kinkins. Okay.
Well, I was trying to be nice, but never mind.
Yeah, well, we should mention, send all pics to media at wildtalkradio.com, Kinkins at wildtalkradio.com. Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadio Network or tweet them at Wild Talk Radio or on our Facebook page as well.
He follows me on Facebook. He asked if he could send because he couldn't listen tonight. So
okay,
there you go.
Okay, that's fine. Send them. We don't have to read them.
Jeez, fine. Be that way.
I will be. Because we're not reading everyone in the chat rooms, are we? You know, if you're doing for one, you have to do for all.
Fine.
Jeez, Rock, it's almost like you hate the fans or something, you know?
No, I'm giving them away free shit. Courtesy of memelingpromo.com.
Which will tell you all the official rules once we get done picking. So, after this, we have the steel cage match featuring Kurt Angle and Wes.
After tonight's promo, as we mentioned during the show, I'm really looking forward to this one. Really looking forward to it.
And this one is in the cage, folks. This is one of three in the cage.
Which... before we continue on the match, is this a sign they might actually have to put the cage? Are they going to be able to build the cage, or will they actually have the ability to hang the cage?
No, because aren't they doing they're doing a lethal lockdown for the team one, so they're going to have to build the cage, and then, because the part of lethal lockdown is that the roof lowers at a later point in the match.
So prepare for like a 10-minute intermission.
Well, think about it. How long was that promo that they showed tonight for?
2 minutes.
Okay, so you have that plus maybe a Kurt Angle backstage promo. Depending on what match you put before it, you could have quite a bit of replays, especially if you use the 6-man tag.
If you go by the order they have listed, yeah, probably.
Yeah,
I'm guessing one of the matches is the cage match is probably going to open the show, and
no,
if any of them
no,
are going to open,
no, you can't open with a cage and take it down.
That's, yeah, basically these final three matches are your second half of the show.
Yeah, we're gonna have like a 10-minute intermission.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. This is where they've had their practice. See, I think this is what they've been doing. They've given the guys on the road a practice on how to do this, because every live event, they've had a cage match. So, if they've got the timing down to get this cage up fast.
And they're pretty good at getting it up fast. I mean, it's one of those where it doesn't have a lot of pieces to it. They just throw up four sides, screw them together, and that's it.
Actually, you'd be surprised. Most of the cages are actually slot-in locks, which can become a little bit of a pain in the butt. But, they should be able to get that thing up in less than 4 minutes if they've been really pushing themselves with the live events.
They've been doing cage matches on every single live event. On the Road to Lockdown Tour.
Yeah, so they should be good to go, but...
Back to the match.
This is an interesting one.
Okay.
And it's a little hard to pick, at least for me, so I'll let you guys go first, and then I'll give my pick.
Mace, go ahead.
I'm going with Angle on this one. I don't know, I think it's a bit too early to sort of start really pushing Wes into like a, he can beat people of Kurt Angle's magnitude. But this is going to be a big SmackDown drag-out fight that's going to have quite a few really good aerial maneuvers in it. Because both of these guys will probably do something crazy at some point.
Kurt's going to do something stupid off the top of the
Yeah, page. And Wes is going to do the same fucking thing.
Like, Kurt's going go and take that moonsault and fall on his face again.
Yeah, so I'm giving this one the Angle, and I'll sort of explain why as we get through the other matches.
Yeah, Kurt wins. There's no going to be no shenanigans because they're going to save for later. Kurt wins. Wes, hard-fought match for Wes, but Kurt Angle's going to show why he's the experienced one and that an Angle can beat up Briscoe. Lindsay.
I'm going with Wes. Surprises, surprises. I honestly don't see this feud between the two of them having very much legs as far as getting them to June. I understand they can do a blow-off match on Impact, but if you're going to build Wes Briscoe like it seems that they're doing, it kind of makes sense, at least to me, to go ahead and give him the victory over Angle.
Especially in his first singles match.
Especially in his first pay-per-view singles match. Because it also kind of gives aces and eights that false confidence, like Wes got the job done. Even if they don't get it done in the team TNA match, Wes got the job done in his match. And that would give Wes pretty much instant credibility. Because right now I love him, but he's really hard to take seriously just because he really hasn't proven himself.
Correct.
So he's only technically had, I think, one wrestling match, and that was against Garrett Bischoff.
Correct.
So it's a win over Angle would secure him as a credible threat, where it's the young lion takes down the older, more experienced lion.
Okay.
And I agree, it will be extremely hard fought. There will probably be blood, and they will both do something extremely stupid. But in the end, I can kind of see Wes picking up the victory.
Okay. Not disagreeing. I see your logic. I see it. So, up next, Lethal Lockdown. Steel Cage. Team Aces and Eights versus Team TNA. This match.
You are.
They've built up to it nicely, especially with the returns of Magnus and Eric Young. Because the Aces and Eights have played a part in it.
Right.
Injuring them, so bringing them back has been good. James Storm seems odd at this point, but he's a name for the match. Out of everyone, he seems the most out of place in the last few weeks of build-up.
Storm is kind of one of those where it's, we need somebody who doesn't have a match. Oh, Storm doesn't have a match. And they threw him in there. The team TNA is very randomly selected. It's very haphazardly done in a lot of ways. And it's basically, oh, we're just going to take random guys and we're going to throw them together, which is good and it's bad. I mean, looking at team TNA, it's a very unexpected team.
Right. And I like how they did. They're building the Dal Cat and these guys work together to get the job done.
Right. Can Sting unite them to all come together and do what they need to do?
Mace, who you got in this?
I'm going with Aces and Eights in this one. I reckon it's more about the unity in this one, as it's been said. Aces and Eights seem to work more as a team, whereas Team TNA seem to be the at-everybody's-throats group. To be honest, I'm expecting a turn in here. I reckon somebody's going to backstab somebody in here. I'm eyeing at the moment, I'm eyeing Magnus, Joe, or EY.
I was thinking EY.
Yeah, I'm thinking EY.
Yeah, especially after what happened this week, I'm definitely eyeing EY. But more so Magnus, I've got the big money on. So I reckon Ace and Eights are going to win this one. So, yeah, that's more why I went with Angle on the earlier one. Give the, one of the TNA guys a big win. Give Aces and Eights the team win.
Right.
And then we got to look at the last match.
Yeah, I'm with Aces and Eights on this one. They need the win. They need to solidify. If this is going to continue, they need the big win, and this will cause some doubt in the structure of TNA of can they actually take these guys down when it matters.
Right.
I would like to see something happen after the fact, like they get some sort of control and power. But you know, that sort of thing. Aces and Eights, take it. What do you think?
I'm going to have to go with Aces and Eights. I expect full-on shenanigans, and I would like to see them use the numbers game against Team TNA, where it's you either have somebody turn, or you have mass members of Aces and Eights, or they have plants in the audience like they did tonight, something to that effect. And I would actually, as much as I'm thinking it's EY, I would actually like to see it be Storm as well. Just because he doesn't really have anything going on. And he's got that personality that he could be an effective leader for them. And also, it would be a nice tie-in from earlier in the year.
The tease when, of joining, yeah.
Yeah, with the tease of, is Storm behind Aces and Eights? And you never really knew one way or another, just based on the way James sold it. So that would be a nice tie-in to see that Storm is potentially behind Aces and Eights, just because he would be somewhat unexpected. He's a TNA original. He's been there forever.
Ever.
Yes, ever.
Sunday.
Nice hint. Subtle. but yeah, so I'm expecting Aces and Eights to win. I wouldn't be surprised if Team TNA takes it, though. It all depends on how long TNA wants to continue the storyline. Obviously, something is going to happen where we're going to get the higher power. It just depends on who it is.
When and where is its key? Not sure it's Sunday, but it's coming.
I expect more hints to be dropped Sunday, if anything else.
Speaking of hints, the main event. Inside the steel cage, Bully Ray challenges Jeff Hardy for the World Heavyweight Championship. The battle of pride, as it were. Two proud men going at it for the most prestigious prize of them all in their mind.
Yes, in their mind.
What do you think? What are you thinking about the match in general before we get to the pick?
I like how they've built it. Like I've said, this has felt very McMahon-Helmsley-ish, but a face side of it, rather than the heel side, where it's obviously the nepotism of the family and the fact that Bully is now Hogan's son-in-law and he's sort of bought himself a title shot by marrying Brooke.
Could we see some possible dissension? If say Bully Ray loses this match, could we see now Bully Ray let down his father type deal coming up after that?
I think we could.
Because it then could lead to some splitting up between Brooke and Bully.
It's really difficult to say just because I can almost see Brooke in some way costing Bully the match. Just because that's the expected answer and that leads to dissension between the two. But Brooke is really the ultimate face
that it's hard to say that, but I can see her, you know, having that oops moment, and she costs Billy the match trying to root him on. As far as disappointing Hulk, I can see that, yeah.
So this boils down to who's going to be the world heavyweight champion after after Sunday? Mace?
I'm going to go with Bully walking out with the belt. But I'm also going to put this up as he does it via Ace's innate interference. If there's one thing that goes on within a gang of that style, you'll always find that the sergeant at arms is actually the second in command. What better man to have in second in command than your own brother?
Oh, my brother.
Mm-hmm. I reckon that we're going to get Aces and Eights, have some sort of interference, and Bully's going to turn around and go, you know what, fuck you, and walk out the door. Because if anything, Bully has been too nice lately. It's he's almost on the point of, do we start calling him Saint Bully of the Sacred Cross? You know, the new Mother Teresa, you know. Will he go and save the kitten out of the tree next week, you know? It's that he's gotten to that type of baby face thing that you know there's a heel turn coming. You know he's going to be the guy that's going to lead Aces and Eights. And what better way to have it revealed than at one of TNA's biggest pay-per-views of the year and have him take the belt?
Yeah, I see that. I'm predicting Bully. I'm not predicting the heel turn, but I'm predicting Bully wins the World Heavyweight title. Lindsay.
I'm predicting Bully just because Hardy has had that belt since before Bound for Glory.
At Bound for Glory.
Or at Bound for Glory, excuse me. At Bound for Glory, so he's had a nice long run with it. It would be nice to see a change. And I can almost see Hogan somewhat ensuring Bully gets that belt. I wouldn't mind seeing the Aces and Eights stuff, and I really actually wouldn't mind seeing Bully do the FU to the Hogans, where basically he's like, well, I got what I wanted, see you bye.
I can also see the Aces and Eights interfering and Bully winning the world title and not, you know, because, you know, what he said on the show is he wants to beat him with his move. His best move. And, you know, somehow shenanigans happen, Jeff Hardy's laid out, and he reluctantly pins Jeff Hardy. So, you know, we won't get the heel turn there, but I could see the heel turn coming as he's world champion.
But just imagine this. Bully's best move, at least in a lot of people's standards, is the 3D. And you need D-Von for that. So say the ref is distracted, D-Von gets in the ring with Bully, and they pull the 3D on Hardy, D-Von gets out of the ring, and Bully pins Hardy for the 1-2-3.
That works too.
So it's, I mean, I can see that, but I can also see Bully pinning Hardy clean. And he beats him clean, and Bully's, you know, just stands there laughing. And it's, he gets what he wants, and then Impact the next week, it's, you know, he becomes more distant, he becomes more elusive to Brooke, you know, he starts taking his wedding ring off more, leaving it around, he gets more disrespectful, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, you need to have some change on this pay-per-view because it's their biggest pay-per-view. And honestly, I think giving Bully the belt is more interesting than Hardy keeping it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Especially if they're going to do what we think they're going to do with the other title matches, and that's leave it on Velvet and leave it on Rude and Aries. And leave it on King. but it helps to further the Aces and Eights storyline, because then it's, well, what are Devon and Bully up to? It opens a lot of doors for them.
Right.
And that's what you want. You want to leave more questions than answers.
This is very true, and that's what you want from pay-per-view. Making you what will happen next.
Yes.
And that is our TNA Lockdown preview. There are 9.5-minute extensive preview right here on the rack. Brought to you by MemLanePromo.com, who will be bringing you our Pick'em Challenge. As always, send your picks to media@wildtalkradio.com. Groups, the Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/wildtalkradio network. facebook.com/wildtalkradio. Tweet us at wildtalkradio on Twitter. You have until Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern. The prize is an 8x10 autograph of Kurt Angle, courtesy of memlinepromo.com. This is only open to people in the United States and Canada for the prize, but everyone please enter the contest.
Yes. Anyone is welcome to enter, but unfortunately we do not have the funds to ship internationally, so yeah.
But if you like to donate, why don't you just hit the donate button on wildtalkradio.com? Anyway. And just put it in the title, The Rack. Anyway. Question of the night, Lindsay, really quick?
Yes, question of the night, really quickly. What is our favorite TNA cage match? And let's go to the listeners, see what they had to say.
We've got a couple for AMW versus Triple X at Turning Point. I'm going to throw in my suggestion that, you know, everyone remembers the Luke Skipper moment, and that's sort of one of my top moments. Kane Kins goes Immortal versus Fortune from Lockdown 2011, which Kazarian put over earlier.
He did.
Tommy in our chat room goes the first Lethal Lockdown. We have one for Christian. Pay attention. Don't be a smartass. Anyway, we have a from Allen, Florida, Wojcik, Naturals versus AMW from TNA Weekly Pay-Per-View Series. Where's the Stevens moonsault from the cage? Or AMW versus Triple X in person was the craziest match. We also have one that I'm also going to second. Terror versus Mickie James in the main event inside the cage. That one came from, you know, the TNA expert Subway on CB Radio. So, throw it around the horn, Mace.
To be honest, I don't really have a favorite. Like, if you want to go a favorite moment, then it would be Skipper walking the cage.
Yeah, we can go with moment.
But that's about all I got, is Skipper walking the cage.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's one that match itself was pretty good. And the lasting moment is always going to be there if you're a TNA fan from way back in the day. You're a TNA original. I'm with you there. Mickie James versus Tara, that's really good from a cage match. That was tremendous. Which we talked to Tara about a few weeks ago right here on the Rack. Go to rackradioshow.com to hear the archive. Lindsay, what do you think?
I'm going to go, just because I kind of have to go with it, AMW versus Triple X, just because that is a tremendous match, and it's not the one in the Impact Zone, it's the one in the Asylum.
Yes.
The very first cage match that they ever did. That is an absolute crazy match. Go back and watch it if you can find it. I think it's on YouTube. If not, I'm sure it's somewhere. You can probably find the AMW DVD that TNA put out years ago, which actually has a lot of their matches on it, at least to a certain point. And it's got that one. It's got the first Six Sides of Steel. I think it's got the Naturals matches on it. But yeah, pretty much any cage match AMW did, that's one of my favorites, just because they knew how to work that thing. So.
Indeed they did. So that's our question of the night.
Yes, so we're running very, very late, and we do apologize. So we are going to go ahead and wrap things up for the evening, unless anybody has anything they'd like to rant about.
No, you don't want that.
I do.
Rant away, my friend.
Fuck you, Marvel Comics. You fuck up Spider-Man yet again. I don't give a flying fuck who's in control, whether it's Dr. Octopus or Peter Parker. you do not have Spider-Man shoot somebody dead in cold blood. I don't give a shit if it's a villain or not. Spider-Man does not kill. Actually, come to think of it, no Marvel Universe hero kills. Leave that shit to DC. End rant.
Good to know.
Only because we're short on time. I'd go longer, but we'd like keep this going for 6 hours.
Yeah, we're already... You know what? Rant to us after we get off the show. Because I want to hear this.
So with that said and done, shall we start plugging?
Plug,
yes,
Mace.
We shall start plugging.
Plug shit, Mace.
Well, unfortunately, there's going to be no video games tomorrow, as I've got to go out and do other things, so there will be no video games. However, there will be video posted on the Wild Talk Radio Network Facebook page of something quite special that I've put into the works that I spent some time on last night. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because it's going to be a surprise, and I'm quite sure people are going to get a nice little giggle out of it.
He's doing something strange, and it's going to be weird, and I'm going to go, fuck you, Mace.
So let's just say, if there's a match that is not going to happen in real life, we're going to make it happen in a video game, damn it.
Oh dear, I'm a little scared now.
Speaking of videos, man, pimp that.
What?
The thing you're supposed to record a commercial for.
Oh yes, the thing I was supposed to record a commercial for and yet haven't done because I'm a late motherfucker. That would be the 28 days of WrestleMania, brought to you by WildTalkRadio.com, as the WTRF series heads into WrestleMania 1 through 28, taking the best and worst of your WrestleMania memories, putting them through a grinder and making you eat the fine paste that is produced.
Starts this Monday, I think.
And believe me, when we get to the point where you see the Big Show's ass, you'll be vomiting that back up.
Yes, yes.
At least until the very next match. We redeem ourselves.
We do. Yes, that starts this Monday, I believe it's the 20th. Yeah, I think that's how it adds up. I believe it's this Monday. So just stay tuned. Yeah, King Kids, I showed him the list. He missed two of them. But don't feel bad, King Kids. Alan did the same. You're on Alan's level when it comes to that. And you both missed the same one. So, anyway. So, yeah, WrestleMania, starting Monday. Yeah, it's 28 days. Yeah, Monday for the refs. So Mace is not doing video games. Saturday night, midnight-ish at CB Radio. We'll do a lockdown pitch with the boys and talk about whatever else we can possibly think of weird, wacky, unusual Sunday night. Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. We will cover lockdown in its fullness. Plus, you never know what will happen. Because WTR may change forever. Again.
Again.
You just never know.
Or it could remain the same. We don't know yet.
We're not sure.
We're not sure yet. Monday night, Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night, KFA Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. He interviews people. I'm using Tim's line. Wednesday, just another goddamn wrestling show at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of RackRadioShow.com. WTR Productions.net and go to CanadianAllPro.com off your and follow them on the Facebooks. Join their group because March 30th is the return of March Mayhem. For all details, go to CanadianAllPro.com.
You done?
Yeah.
Sweet. Alright, well, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWARD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com, check that out. You can go to my online portfolio, linsward.deviantart.com, see all my pretty, pretty artworks. And, of course, please visit CassidyRiley.net. Stay tuned, because there might be a big announcement from Cassidy, so check that out. And also, please buy his merchandise, as he would greatly appreciate it. Listen to all the other fine programming on this network, and, of course, tell your friends. He kind of announced it. He can't announce everything yet, but he's kind of announced it. But, so anyway, stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for the rack next week. And, of course, please visit our sponsors, PW Mania, for all your news needs. And, of course, go to Memorabilia Lane, memlanepromo.com, for all your memorabilia needs. They've got some really cool stuff, so please check it out and buy it, because I still want CM Punk's photos, goddammit. So, for Mace, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward, and you're listening to the rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week.
Bye. Looks like we're on the floor.